ಪರಮಹಂಸಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯ ಶರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವಿಧಾನ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯಂ ನೇತ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಶ್ವಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂತಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶೀಲ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಕುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಾಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಾಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮೋ ವಿಶ್ವಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂದಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾನಂದ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧಿ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಂ ಉದ್ಧರಭವಾರ್ಣವಾದ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವ ಸಾಗರೆ ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೈನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋರ್ ಸಮಜಾಯತೆ ಅಥಾ ಕುರುಷ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಪಾಪ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನತ್ವಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ ಜನ್ಮಸ್ವರಾನ್ ತೇನೆ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಹೃದಯ ಆದಿಕವೈ ಮುಹ್ಯಂತಿ ಯಲ್ ಸೂರಯ ತೇಜೋ ಅರಿಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷಾ ಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತಭೋಗಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ವರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜಿತ ಗೈರವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನಿರ್ಮಲ್ಸರಾಣಾಂ ಸದಾ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾವತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೆ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೆ ಕಿಂವಾಪರೈರೀಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುಧ್ಯತೆ ತ್ರಗತಿಭಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿ ತಲ್ಕ್ಷಣಾಲ್ ನಿಗಮಕಲ್ಪದರೋರ್ಗಲಿತಂ ಬಲಂ ಶುಕಮುಖಾಮೃತಂದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುತಂ ವಿಪದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಂ ಆಲಯಂ ಹುರಹೋ ರಸಿಯಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಕಾಃ ಸಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋತ್ಪತ್ತ್ಯಾದಿ ಹೇತವೆ ತಾವತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನಮಃ ಯಂ ಪ್ರಪ್ರಚಂದಮನಿವೇದೋವೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈವಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹಗಾದರಮಾಜ್ಯುಹಾವ ತತ್ರೈದಿ ತತ್ರೈದಿ ತನ್ಮಯದಯತ್ತರವೋ ವಿನೇದೂತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಮಾನದೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಕಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಮದಿತಿ ದೀರ್ಷತಾಂ ತಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಹ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೋನುಭವಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಜೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರ ಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೇ ಕಣವೇಣು ಕುಣಿದಾದೃದಾನನೇಂದೋಃ ಮಮ ವಾಚ ವಿಜೃಂಭತಾಂ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರೀನ್ನ ಕಣಿಗಾಭಿ ಕಾಭಿ ಗಾಭಿ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂದಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ ವಂದೇ ನಂದ ವ್ರಜ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪಾದರೇ ನಮೀಷ್ಟಶಾಯಾಸಾಂ ಹರಿಗತೋದ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದಿ ಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋಪೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾನವೇ ನಮಃ ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಗರವಿರಾಜ ಶಂಖಚಕ್ರಂ ಕೌಮೋದಕೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಮತಿ ಸುಂದರ ಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವದಾಲಯಶಮನಿಶಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ ಕೋಮಲಂ ಪೂಜಯನ್ ವೇಣುಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಲೋಯಂ ಕುಮಾರ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಾಸದಾಂಬುರದೋ ಮಮ ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಭಂಗಂ ಲಂಘಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ జల్కృపాదమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So, in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavadam, there are so many things which not you won't find them in the verses, or in the sometimes not even in the commentary. There are many things like that. You are supposed to derive that with understanding the verses properly. For example, you can see here, we were discussing this third chapter in the 12th canto, where the three modes of nature is how it is working, right? How the three modes of nature creates the four different yugas in the life, like Kriya Yugam, Treta Yugam, Dwapara Yugam and Kali Yugam. So it is the change in the modes of nature that makes the changes in the world. In our world, what we experience in these changes in the world is due to the change in the modes of nature, prakriti. Prakriti is changing, sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamogunam, and accordingly our nature changes. We change accordingly. And then we blame each other, what has happened to these people, that people and all that. But the fact remains that the main problem is with these modes of nature, how it changes in the under the influence of time. Yeah. So, Krishna, the Shiva Brahmarshi mentioned that sattvam rajastamayiti drishyande purushe gunaha kala sanjodidasteve parivartandam atmani in the 26th verse in the third chapter. So, the thing is, you will observe one thing. It is not mentioned in the Bhagavadam, but if you think about it, you will understand what I am saying. That our modern science and history and the world generally, the society tells us that we have progressed, advanced, and we are in an advanced civilization now, where we are at today, with all the developments, technology and everything. And on that basis, the impression we all carry is that human civilization has evolved and finally has reached a more advanced and perfect stage now. That is how we understand, as we are told in the schools, colleges and generally in the society. It's spoken that way. That we have made progress from our early days when the civilization started, and we have gradually developed and evolved, and finally we have reached a much better state of life, and we are in a more developed and civilized state now. That's the impression we have been given, and that's being we are giving to people, also children also at the school. They have all been given this impression that we have developed and evolved like this. If you look at Bhagavadam, what does Bhagavadam say? Bhagavadam is saying to us, it is totally wrong. In the beginning, everything was perfect. From perfect, degradation started. It deteriorated, and now we are in the most deteriorated state. Still now. If you look at it, that means beginning is perfection and deterioration begins from perfection, it becomes imperfect. Whereas modern science and the modern teachers, they are telling us everything was imperfect in the beginning and now it has become perfect. Just see the difference of thinking. The science and modern technology and the civilization is teaching us that everything has become perfect now. We are perfect human being. We have got our lifespan has gone up, and we have, when we started, we were living in the caves and doing all kinds of, we couldn't cook food, we couldn't eat, the Stone Age and all they call it, isn't it? From there we began, and we have developed, and we have reached perfection now, because we have got very sophisticated kitchens now, with all the facilities. So this is how the avidya in us works, right? The avidya is so strong that so much misunderstanding about life. Shastram is saying, no, this is totally wrong. In the beginning of Satyayugam, Kriyayugam, everything was perfect. People had good memory, long lifespan, and knew the goal of life. Didn't exploit the material nature, compassion to others, truthfulness. All the good qualities in the society were present in the beginning. And then as time went on, it came to Tridayugam, Dwabarayugam, and now in Kaliyugam, the qualities have got, the good qualities have all reduced, diminished in the human society. And now we are at the lowest level of the human qualities. Yeah. So just see that way how they Shastram sees and how the world sees things. We have studied like this, that everything is now, we have become so advanced, and we have studied, and we are teaching the same thing to our children also. At the school they go, when they come out from the school, they feel that, oh, they have become the perfect embodiment of all the virtues and all the qualities. But this is what the difference is. This is called avidya. So Krishna has, when you speak, when Krishna says something, you got, now these things are not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. But you can deduce these things from the way it is spoken in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is saying that Sattvam Rajastama iti Drishyande Purushe Gunaha Kala Sanjodidaste Vai Parivartandam Almani. That parinamam that is happening in the society is what you find and what you hear in the society. See, the society is how do you say, it's like a flock of sheep. They don't think, they just follow. One person starts something, everybody else just follows it without thinking further about it. That is society. That's the nature of the society. So these things Krishna has Shobrahmarshi has mentioned there, so that people who have some brain, who can think about life, they can understand that things are not as rosy as it is presented to us in the world. It is not so rosy, and a lot of avidya is behind it, and we have been completely misguided, misled by this kind of propaganda. So that is what we were discussing last Sunday also, that it is the same thing with everything in spiritual life. Lot of things in spiritual life, we are completely misguided and misled by the way, because of the influence of the society. We are trying to make the modern world compatible with the Shastram. That won't work. Shastram is Shastram. Modern world has lost it. There's nothing you can do about it. But because of our conditioning, strong conditioning, we are thinking that the modern world should match with the Shastric injunctions, which it won't. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that at the time of death, at least by the time of death, if you have become free from the body, mind, intelligence, then there is some hope in life. Yeah? Yesham Brahmi Siddhi Partha Nainam Partha Vimukhyadi Sitvasi Andhagalebi Brahma Nirvana Mrachadi. That's how Krishna finishes the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So, this Brahmi Siddhi, what does Brahmi Siddhi means? Brahmi Siddhi means that that if you realize yourself, who you are, that state, that means that generally we are affected by the body, we are affected by the mind, we are affected by the intelligence. These three things controls us in this world. Either we are on the bodily platform or on the mental platform or on the intellectual platform. You got to get out of these three. Transcend all the three stages, right? The influence of the body is strong on us, mind is also strong, and to a large extent intelligence also. So Krishna is saying that by somehow, through the mercy of a great Mahatma or Krishna's mercy, if we become free, na mukhyandi, Krishna says, nainam prapa vimukhyadi. If you become free from muhya means, muhyadi means illusion. If we become free from that, and Krishna is giving a guarantee that you will not come back, provided you become free from the body, mind and the intelligence. These three things, body, mind and intelligence, right? And if you have experienced that state, Brahmistiri, then you will never lose it. So, you won't have the power to lose it, if you get it. You won't have the power to lose it, right? So, the way it happens is that, first Krishna says, take my shelter. And once we have taken shelter, then Krishna will get us out. Then it is Krishna's responsibility. But Krishna won't take the responsibility till we take shelter of Krishna. So the first we have to go and hold on to Krishna's lotus feet, and then Krishna will pull us out from this situation, right? So moham or illusion, what does that mean? It means that I am thinking about something what I am not. Whatever I am not, I am identifying with that, right? For example, I am thinking I am this body. I am thinking I am this mind. And if I keep on thinking in that state, if I live in that state, right, at the time of death, that Brahman will come. If I live in that principle that I am this body or I am the mind, if I live in that, these are the major two things. If I live in this identification with the body or the mind, then at the time of death, that Brahman or illusion will be there in me. And if I know now that I am not this body and I am not this mind, not on an intellectual level, but my swarupam, who I am actually, that identity, that state inside me, or which is in the form of bodham, awareness or consciousness. If I stay like that, if that is called prajna, asham brahmistri nenam prapya mukhyadi, brahma nirvanam rachari, he says, isn't it? So this brahmistri, I'm going back to the second chapter for a few minutes. I need to talk about this first. So brahmistri and sthita prajnatvam, two things Krishna spoke in the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Sthita prajnatvam and brahmistri. Basically, they are one and the same. They are not different. He used two different words. So, that sthita prajnatvam, if it is very strong inside, it is called prajna dardhyam. Dardhyam means deep inside, the bodham in me, awareness in me, that instead of me being in the body and the mind, if I am in that prajna, if it is like that, then at the time of death, you will experience that state. Krishna is promising this, that if you have that awareness that I am not the body or the mind in your consciousness or bodham state, if you have touched that bodham, not the body, not the mind, in that case, even though you are in the body at the time of death, you will experience a state where you are not the body. Where you are not the body, right? So, that experience, even if you don't get it fully while living in this world, Krishna says, even if you get it a little bit of that, it will protect you at the time of death. Let's understand this statement, because these are very important statements in the Bhagavad Gita. Normally when you read the books and all, you won't get it properly. And then you start arguing, fighting each other, all silly issues after coming to spiritual life, right? So that situation, state, where you can see yourself as different from the body, from the mind, from the intelligence. If you can reach that state, different from the body, from the mind, and from the intelligence, Krishna called that state is Brahmi Siddhi. Right now, we are in these three, body, mind, and intelligence. Right. So, this shifting from body, mind, and intelligence to that state, Brahmi Siddhi, Krishna is saying that it is like this. What will happen is, when you hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, when the message gets in, the shift will happen inside. So if shift has not happened, means the message has not gone in yet. That's the way to understand that spiritual life is like this. On one side it is very simple, on the other side it's very difficult. You will see Prabhupada using certain statements like that. He says it's simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. What does he mean by that? What it means is that if you are not too absorbed in the body and the mind, it's very simple. But if you are completely absorbed in the body and the mind, it's very complicated. That's what it means. That you will understand as you study books. All great personalities have spoken in the same way on this issue, right? Quite often, when you read books, you start thinking, our normal tendency is to use the mind straight away. Everything in this world, we got used to that process of using the mind and intelligence. And therefore, whenever knowledge comes or anything, when you read books, when you hear from someone, the first thing what you do is, with your mind and intelligence, you evaluate a person's, whatever has been spoken or whatever is written in the book, right? So, but Krishna is saying that when spiritual knowledge comes in a person, if it is affecting him, or it is start working in him, what will happen to him is, he will lose this connection with the body and the mind, and it will be like this, he says, just like a snake, when it sheds its skin. You remember how the skin of the snake, when it sheds it, it just sheds the skin and then it goes away. To that extent, separation happens with the body and the mind. And if this separation is not happening, that means spiritually you are not growing. You are stuck where you are. There are fundamental things in spiritual life to understand. The rishis have a different way of looking at the world and looking at life, totally different from us. And therefore, when they present things to us, their intention is to shift our way of looking at things, the way we are conditioned. And that conditioning is so strong that we find it difficult to overcome that. Our own problem it is. It's not their problem, it's our problem. That we find it difficult to overcome our conditioning. And that conditioning comes back and we come to spiritual life with that conditioning. Just like so much misunderstanding comes in us. And Arjuna, on our behalf also, asked questions to Krishna. Krishna answered in one way, Arjuna's questions were different. And you may wonder why Krishna answered it that way, right? So look at it a little bit more detail and then you will know what we are talking about, right? So this experience that I am not body, I am consciousness, that experience if we have had while living in this body, at least for some time, Krishna says that will come for your rescue. You will be get a shelter in that. Yeah. So all Mahalpas have spoken like this, that by the mercy of the Guru, or mercy of Krishna, that they talked about the death of their body while living in this world, in this body itself, right? So this body, from the viewpoint of the Shastram, is another name for death. Body is called death. There is another name of the body, is death, right? So, and the spirit under inside, or bodham, aham, that awareness inside us, that is a name for liberation. The awareness or bodham inside is a name for liberation, right? So, from body, to shift our attention from the body to that awareness, bodham inside, yeah? So, and that is why in Upanishads they will say like this, asatoma sadgamaya, from asata come to satta, it says. Similarly, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, from tamasa come to jyotirsa. And similarly, mrityoma amrutam gamaya. These three things you will see mentioned in the Kathopanishads in respect to this. What does it mean? Tamasa means body. Tamasoma sadgamaya. Sata means spirit, consciousness. Right? From body to consciousness. Then, asata to sata. Asati is body and sati is consciousness. Similarly, tamasa is body. Jyotisa means consciousness. Asatoma sadgamaya. Tamasoma jyotirgamaya. So, asata, tamasa and similarly mrityu. These three things are all definitions of body. Asata, tamasa, mrityu. Three things are nothing but body. Similarly, satta, jyotisa, amrutam. All these three are soul. All these three things are soul. So, asadoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, mrityoma amrutam gamaya. Upanishad will say like this. In other words, Upanishad expects us to move away from the body to the soul, to the body to the soul, right? So, when we say like that, it's not condemning the body, but what they're saying is that once you have realized the self, sata, or you have experienced that nectar, jyotisa, what will happen is, this body will not affect you anymore. Body and the mind will not have any influence on you anymore. Right? And only at that time you can say that this connection with our body is natural. Now it is not in a natural state. Now our connection with this body is not in a natural state. It's an ignorant state we are, not the natural state. Krishna is saying that when you break this connection with the body, only then, in other words, body has come to us, isn't it? It's not that we ask for a body like this. It was given by the nature. You got to think about all these things because of our bad education. what has been pumped into your head about this body, so much misunderstanding, and then that avidya, you are trying to find out spiritual life. Where will spiritual life come from that? With so much avidya, ignorance inside us, completely identifying with the body, thinking that body is important, body is everything, without body what will I do? All this misunderstanding, right? But Upanishads are saying, Krishna is saying here, that this Brahman inside me, that body is the truth, and I am in that state, it is an unnatural state of existence from spiritual point of view. It's an unnatural state of existence is what we are now, completely identifying with the body, right? So, that situation, when you have broken up that connection with the body and you have become one with the consciousness inside, Krishna called that sthita prajnato. Sthita prajna sega bhasha samadhistha se keshava. Arjuna asked a question. Sthita prajna sega bhasha ka bhasha. So there is a lot of things in Bhagavad Gita which you got to read hear from the great people who have analyzed Bhagavad Gita. If you just read one Bhagavad Gita and you reciting the verses on a Gita Jayanti is not going to solve the problem. Problem is much more deeper than that. It has become ritualistic now. It's becoming more and more ritualistic. Once a year, sit together and recite all the 700 verses. And then every chapter you give a little summary of that. What is going to happen? How is it going to help? Nothing will happen out of it. It's just another ritual you have done, like so many other rituals. That's all. The knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, if it is not gone in, then it's not doing the job. It hasn't done the job. So that is why it's so important to understand what Krishna is saying. And the interaction between Krishna and Arjuna, and how the message was conveyed to Arjuna, and even though it may look a little bit strange to us, some of the things what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, when Arjuna asked the questions, Vedavyasa Maharshi deliberately put Arjuna as our representative there. Arjuna will ask such questions what we will ask. And Krishna will answer everything from a realized state. This is the difficulty. Krishna is speaking everything from a realized state. The one who is completely not on the bodily identity. Totally identifying with the Antaryami inside. Bodham, awareness inside. Krishna is speaking from that state. Arjuna is asking from the bodily identity. So, when you ask questions from a bodily identity, and when the speaker speaks from the spiritual platform, they are not compatible. There will be problems. And this is why, from spiritual platform, one is not supposed to have any doubts in the mind. One won't have, because spiritual state is beyond body, mind, intelligence. Right? Body, mind, intelligence, senses, all these things are lower levels of existence. Lower levels of existence. When you are in your lower levels of existence, you will have doubts. You will have doubts. And your nature is that you are conditioned in this way. I get a doubt in my mind, and then I will ask a question. And then if I get an answer, I will again use my mind to evaluate it. And then if it is satisfying, you may take it. If not, I will ask another question. This is lower states of existence. Physical platform, mental platform, intellectual platform, sensual platform. All of them are lower levels of existence. Krishna is conveying this message to Arjuna. Indriyani pararahu, indriyebhya paramana, manasastu parabuddhi, yo buddhe paradastu sa. You see, Krishna is trying to tell us, as long as you are in this bodily platform and mental platform and sensual platform and intellectual platform you won't understand the Bhagavad Gita. This is the problem. There are a lot of things. We have to change ourselves. There is no other way we will understand the Bhagavad Gita. Unless we change ourselves. We must recognize our own deficiencies, our own shortcomings, right, in us. Because of our education, because of all the avidya what we have pumped inside, and that how it is affecting us in misunderstanding Bhagavad Gita or not able to understand the Bhagavad Gita. This is the problem. Let's look at it for a few more minutes and then we'll go back to that. So, Krishna is saying that at the time of death, if you are still in any of these, bodily level, mental level, intellectual level or sensual level, whatever that is, these four things where we are normally at, right? And if you have not experienced even a little bit, tiny bit, of that state inside, of your real state, prajna, siddha prajnatvam, or self-realization state, right? And then you will have to come back. If you have totally stayed in the bodily platform, mental platform, intellectual platform, or sensual platform, whatever these four levels where we are at normally, which is all states of avidya. Bodily level is avidya, mental level is avidya, intellectual level is avidya, sensual level is avidya. So if you have completely moving around in these four levels throughout life, Krishna says, don't expect that at the time of death anything will change. But that's why that last verse, Esham Brahmi Siddhi Partha, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, before death happens, if you have got a tiny experience of that, a tiny experience, not full time, a little bit experience of that self, that bodham, andaryami inside, if you have touched it somehow or the other, it will only happen with Krishna's mercy. What I'm saying is, by our ahankaram, ego, you won't be able to do it. Suppose you have done, you decided that I've done a lot of these spiritual activities, lot of service I've done, devotional service I've done, lot of sadhana I have done, you won't get it. There is no guarantee. Krishna is saying that. Sadhana or even your devotional activities, whatever activities you have done, there is no guarantee that you will get it. That will only happen with Andaryami's mercy. Krishna inside as Andaryami, he has to give it to you. So therefore you have to take Krishna's shelter first. And taking shelter is given more importance than all the sadhana what you do. More than the sadhana, the stress is on the taking shelter. That is why in the Bhagavatam, after liberation, is there anything else? He says, there is ashraya. Ashraya tattva. What is the 12th canto we are now discussing? Yeah. So what do we have to do? We have to keep hearing this message, what Krishna has spoken. You see, there is not a lot in spiritual life to know, actually. There is not a lot to know. There is few things, but it should go in properly inside, and the acceptance inside. Our Shraddha has to be there. If Shraddha is not there, it won't have any benefit. Lack of Shraddha you can see in people very easily. You can noticeable it is. That again and again, going back to the body and the mind and the question and all these things are symptoms of lack of Shraddha. That means he has not understood it in the proper way. How things should be understood. That hasn't happened. Yeah. You are studying like another subject. Hearing a lot and evaluating with the mind and then thinking that, oh, I've got all these doubts now. I have to ask these questions. This is not spiritual life. Krishna's point is that second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, if it is properly gone inside, you don't have to study another rest of the Bhagavad Gita. There's no need. If you study that second chapter, what Krishna has spoken, because that is why it's a summary actually of the Bhagavad Gita. Summary, it's all summarized there. In that chapter, everything is there. The other things are in the Bhagavad Gita is all based on the doubts what Arjuna has raised. To answer that doubts, Krishna has spoken the rest of the Bhagavad Gita. But the second chapter is where the message is very clearly spoken, but to absorb it, you need to put a lot of effort into it. to absorb that second chapter properly. You have to put a lot of effort into that. So, here, he is saying here that if you have not got it, keep on thinking about it, that second chapter, again and again and again, till you start experiencing that insight, right? So, gradually, that awareness, bodham inside, antaryami inside, may, if you are lucky enough, and if Krishna is kind enough, Krishna feels that this person wants to understand Krishna, then one day by Krishna's grace, if we get it, we get it. If not, we will go back into the bodily state again, right? So, at that time, Krishna says, things will be clear. When Antaryami reveals to us who we are from inside, not all the time, even a little bit, a taste of that, if we get it, Krishna says that sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhaya, you will escape from the greatest fear in life. So, Surubastiri, that's called Surubastiri, our spiritual identity, right? So, Krishna said all these things to Arjuna, and Krishna spoke about sthita prajñatvam, and his symptoms he spoke, right? So, Arjuna got a doubt at that moment, and Arjuna says to him, why did doubts come to Arjuna? The reason for why Arjuna got doubts was that spiritual knowledge, when it is spoken by the Acharya, Krishna is the Acharya here now, as Jagadguru is speaking, right? So, if you don't hear it in the same state like the Acharya is, you will have doubts. You see? Arjuna is hearing it from a mundane level, laugiga, bhaudiga level, right? Otherwise, doubts will come. That is the way spiritual knowledge is. Spiritual knowledge, if it is not heard from the same level as the speaker. Speaker is speaking, Krishna is speaking from the state, self-realized state. Arjuna is hearing this from bodily identity. You see, Krishna is speaking from the self-realized state. Arjuna is hearing that from the bodily, totally bodily identity, which means in avidya state. That is why the doubts came into Arjuna's mind. Arjuna got the doubts because of that, right? So therefore, Krishna is speaking from that Brahmi sthiti. Krishna is speaking from Brahmi sthiti. Arjuna is hearing it from the totally from the mundane level with the bodily identity, right? And which means, from bodily identity means that he is hearing it with the mind. If you hear with the mind anything, you will get doubts. You will get doubts, right? So, they are entirely on a different plane. Krishna is one plane of existence. Arjuna is another plane of existence. That is why the doubts have come, right? So, because doubting is a nature of the mind. Nature of the mind, right? Whatever you hear, anything you hear, it will keep on creating doubts inside, right? And buddhi will join that. Mind and the buddhi together, right? So, those two things, mind and intelligence, they are causing problems for you, for me and for everybody in the same way, right? If you become free from the body, the mind and the intelligence, and if you got established in the self, Antaryami inside, you won't have any more doubts after that. You won't have any more doubts after that. This is the barrier you have to overcome. How to overcome the barrier of body, mind, intelligence and senses? Yeah. You see, the difficulty is that by me saying this or anybody saying this, it won't stay inside us. It will be forgotten again. This one point, Prabhupada, in the first lecture, if you hear that, he has mentioned that. If you have heard that record album, that time they had that gramophone disc, isn't it? In 75 and all that, cassettes and all have not come yet. They had all that, album. They call it album, right? So there he is saying, Prabhupada is saying this. I don't think anyone caught over this. Many things Prabhupada has said something, they didn't understand it. They have not understood even today. Many things. They have understood something else. What they have understood, they are doing it. And that is why all these arguments and fighting going on, because of this. So it is the same story always, right? There Prabhupada is saying that surpassing the mind, intelligence and senses, he is saying. In that album you will find that. That means till you transcend these three, body, mind, intelligence, senses, you won't understand spiritual life. You may be thinking you are in spiritual life, but you are not. You are in the control of the body, control of the mind, control of the senses, control of your intelligence. And till you become free from that and taste a little bit of that Antaryami state, that is our real state, Antaryami state. All other states are false states. Our present existence is in that false state of body, mind, intelligence. Yeah. So, where does doubts come? Doubts come in the mind. Doubts come in the mind and intelligence, right? So, so that is why when we talk about self-realization, when you hear that from the platform of the, you are hearing it with the mind and then the intelligence, you are not getting it. You are not getting it, right? And doubts and doubts come one after the other. Right? They give the example, it is like this, that a thief gone to steal something and a scorpion bit him, the thief. Right? What will the thief do? He has come to thief something, so he can't cry, he can't make any noise. So on one side, that's the situation. On the other side, the pain is excruciating pain from the scorpion bite. Right? This is our situation now. Our situation is like that now. On the one side, the spiritual knowledge is there. On the other side, we are stuck in the body, mind and the senses. And unable to connect, we are not able to say anything because this body, mind and the senses is holding us so strongly that we are not able to escape from that. And on the other hand, that knowledge of the soul, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, that remains and we want it but we can't have it. So, because of that, Arjuna asks the question to Krishna. He says there that Arjuna Vacha, that is how third chapter begins, right? Jayasi chet karmanaste madha buddhir janardana tat kim karmani ghore mam niyo jayasi keshava. This is how Krishna begins this third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, right? His point was that this karma yogam, which is discussed in the third chapter, was already discussed in the second chapter. Also it was discussed, right? Karmani vadhigaraste mahabhaleshu kadachana, those verses. Chatur Sutram, it's called. So, Krishna told Arjuna, you have to do the karma, right? That time, Arjuna is saying, why are you telling me to do karma? You see, this doubt came to Arjuna's mind. Why do I, should I do karma now? Right? Similarly, Krishna also used the word buddhi in the Sankhya Yoga, in the beginning of the second chapter. Right? If you look at the verse 49, 249, you will see Krishna using that word buddhi there. So, durenahi avaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya buddhau sharanam anvicha krupana phalahetuva. In the 49th verse. Now, this is a very serious topic in the Bhagavad Gita. Unless you are very focused on this, Shraddha is there, and if you get it, you get it. If you don't get it, you have to keep thinking about it. So, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, durena hi avaram karma, buddhi yogal dhananjaya, buddhau sharanam anvicha krupana phalahetava. After saying that, he said to him that take shelter of that buddhi. Take shelter of buddhi. And then he said, now I will talk to you about yoga, he says. Yoga buddhi. Till now I talked about Sankhyam, now I will talk to you about yogam, he said. So, Arjuna misunderstood the whole thing. Arjuna couldn't understand it, what Krishna was saying. This is the difficulty, you see, that so many things what Krishna has spoken, it is impossible from our present state to grasp it because of we identifying with this body. When you are identifying with the body, to understand transcendental knowledge is not possible. When you are identifying with the body, strongly, body, mind, senses, all that. Rishis have no value for your intelligence. Rishis doesn't think that your intelligence means anything, right? Rishis also doesn't give any importance to your mind. Rishis also think your body is also useless. Body, mind, senses, intelligence, these four things, rishis have not given any importance to it. Till you become free from these four, you won't understand the spiritual life from their position. That is how it is. The answer is very simple from their side. He says, body is a dead thing, jadam it is, made of material elements. Jadam means there is no chaitanyam in that. Jadam means there is no chaitanyam, right? So this body, if you are identifying with it, that means that you are ignorant, very ignorant person you are, if you are identifying with the body, right? So in that state, with that identification, if you are asking questions, it has no meaning. From their angle, it is like that. With your total identification with the body, if you are asking questions, it has no meaning at all. Because you won't understand it, the answer. That's the problem. One. If it is about the mind and intelligence, these two things, if you think that they are important, the rishi's answer is that when you go to sleep, this so-called mind disappears. Totally disappears. And you are going into that mind. And it is a force in our body which is not real. This mind is also, is not a real thing. It's, what does mind mean? Mind means chitavati, thought waves. Lot of thoughts coming inside. That's what mind is called. And you are taking this mind as very seriously. And you are asking questions based on that. Rishis won't accept that. Rishi says, we don't want to talk with you about this. Because your questions are all coming from your mind. And therefore, they have no value as far as they are concerned, right? So, same thing with intelligence. Same thing with the intelligence. So, Rishi's position is very clear. They are saying to us, you will understand all what we are saying when you become free from these four things. That is what Krishna is pointing out again and again and again in the second chapter, that till you get a little bit of withdrawal from this bodily identity and mental identification, intellectual identification. So, having said that, so, Arjuna asks a question to him that you spoke to me about the soul first And then you are asking me to fight. How is that compatible? First you told me you are the soul, everything, the Sankhyam side of it. And then you are asking me to fight. I get completely confused, he said. Krishna, fully appreciating Arjuna's situation, Arjuna is like us. It is quite natural in our case, we will also ask the same question. Krishna spoke about the soul, the truth, and then why do I have to fight then, if that's the truth? Should I not stay in the truth and forget about fighting? Why do I have to fight? But rest of the chapter, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, you should fight. How will you make these two things together? No. It's not Adhikari Vedam. Adhikari Vedam is different. Krishna is talking about is, what Krishna is saying there is that the Madi Sangosta Karmani, he said, Karmani Vadhigaraste Ma Baleshu Katachana Mahakarma Balahedubur Made Sangosta Karmani. Right. One side you are telling me to do karma and you should not give up karma. These are all misunderstanding in our mind, because sometimes we understand wrongly, we understand many things also. Right? On the one hand, Krishna is saying, be focused on the knowledge of the self, he said, right? Means you stay in the Siddhapragnatvam stage, right? So, Arjuna is asking, tell me clearly one thing, what should I do? We all are like that in this world. We want a clear answer for everything, right? So, that is why spiritual life means generally, it creates confusion in the mind, in people's mind. We get confused a lot. Why does it causes confusion? Because you are capturing everything with the mind. When you capture something with the mind, you will have problems, right? So, that is why Upanishad is saying, Yato vacha nivartande. Aprapya manasa saha. Right? Spiritual knowledge, you cannot express it. After a certain limit, you can't express it. Yeah? In other words, up to a limit, you can talk about spiritual life, self-realization, soul, everything. Beyond than that, you cannot express it through words or through the mind. Right? So neither yato vacha nivartante aprapya manasa saha, neither the mind nor the words can express the knowledge of the self. Cannot express the self. Neither the words nor the mind can express the self. Right? So here, when the mind becomes totally in a peaceful state, in other words, peaceful in the sense that you have got to transcend the mind. When your mind is working, whatever questions you are firing has no meaning really. You are just asking something, right? So that is why Krishna is talking about Shraddha. Shraddha's importance, right? So the nature of spiritual life is like that. If one has a Shraddha, even a small child will get it, the message. But a very learned person who is quite advanced in knowledge, right, he may not get it. This is how the nature of the spiritual life is. It's difficult to understand this principle, right? And therefore, spiritual life is, on one hand it is very simple, on the other hand it's the most difficult one, right? You can understand this. For example, Take the example of Prahlada.
Right.
Prahlada was not very developed intelligence because he was in the womb of the mother. Intelligence, mind and all becomes active after you have born, and after a while your intelligence starts building up and then you become more intelligent and all that. Inside the womb, he was not intelligent. His mind was not working either. But in his pregnancy, when he was in the womb, right, he got it. Prahlada got it, right? Yeah. So normally a child is born, gradually he develops his intelligence, right? So from this you can understand, from that example of Prahlada, that spiritual knowledge is not received through intelligence. Intelligence is not the factor that decides spiritual knowledge, how spiritual knowledge comes in, nor the mind. That's why that Prahlada's story has spoken deliberately to tell us this, that spiritual knowledge doesn't come because you are intelligent, therefore you will get it. No. Sometimes, most of this so-called intelligence in the mind is nothing but avidya, what we have collected from the world, right? So, knowledge, spiritual realization is not through buddhi or the mind, right? Spiritual knowledge is spiritual knowledge itself. It has to get in on its own. That means the antaryami inside has to open up for us the door. Only then the knowledge will hit the right spot where it should go, right? So, bodham, awareness, is through awareness only it can come inside. It cannot come inside through your mind or intelligence, right? And they give this example that suppose a lamp is burning, I don't need to bring another lamp to see this lamp. This lamp itself will give me the experience of its presence here without the help of another lamp. Same thing with bodham inside, the awareness inside, right? So Arjuna in this case was in an ordinary person's level. He is asking these questions. Because if Arjuna was not asking these questions from that level, we will not study Bhagavad Gita. We won't study Bhagavad Gita, right? So, therefore, Arjuna is asking the questions like the way we are, and therefore we are able to somewhat take some interest in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So, Arjuna asks a question that, Jyayasi, if you look at the third chapter, first verse, Jyayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana. He is saying there that you told me in the last chapter, Brahmis theory, if it is so superior, this self-realized state is so superior, and if it is better than doing karma, then why do you force me to fight? Arjuna got confused completely. After hearing the knowledge of the soul in the second chapter, and then he told about karma yogam after that in the second chapter, Arjuna asked a question that, if knowledge is so superior, self-realization, then why do I have to fight? It's not making any sense, is it? We would have asked the same question. So, and it says here, Tatkim karmani ghorema. Ghorema means this ghoram. This frightening war. Why do you want me to fight then? You told me about self-realization, told me about the soul and spiritual life, everything. And then you're asking me to fight. For what? It's not making any sense. And that war, he's saying here, Tatkim karmani ghoremam. Ghoram it is, he's saying there, right? So, Is this not conflicting, contradicting things? One side you are asking me to realize the truth. The truth is this, and Krishna spoke the truth first. Na jayate na mriyate, all those verses. Yeah? It's all about the soul. It never killed, it never moisted, it's never burned. All kind of things Krishna said about the soul. After saying all those things, then you are telling me that I should fight the war. Why? It's not making any sense. So, your words are causing me confusion, Arjuna says. Yeah. You can say, that's the next verse in the third chapter. Vyamishveneva vakyena buddhim mohayasivame tadegam vada nishchitya yena shrayoham apnuyam. That verse, yeah. Arjuna is saying to Krishna, Vyamishraneva Vakyena, that it causes confusion in my mind. These verses, even though Arjuna has spoken, it is an explanation of how conditioned we are. While studying Bhagavad Gita, in a very conditioned state, it is very difficult to find answer to these things. In a conditioned state. That is why transcendental knowledge, one has to hear from the level from the speaker is saying that. When you are identifying with the body, mind, senses, it's impossible to understand what Krishna is saying, right? You remember that example I mentioned before also. Vivekananda spoke in America, Bhagavad Gita. One day he spoke Karma Yoga and he said, Karma Yoga is perfect. One should follow Karma Yoga, is the first thing one should do. It's the perfection of spiritual life and things like that. Then the next day he spoke about Bhakti Yoga. It's the best, he said. And on the third day, he spoke about there is no alternative except Jnana Yoga, he said. So three different days, he spoke about three different yoga processes. And each time, he mentioned that this particular yoga process is the best. So one lady who was listening to all this, so he says to him after the class, he said, yesterday you spoke about Karma Yoga and said that it is the best. And then you talk about bhakti the next day and he said bhakti is totally the right thing to do. And then on the third day you spoke about Jnana Yoga. And you said Jnana Yoga is the right thing, the perfection of spiritual life, right? So Vivekananda Swamiji smiled when she said that question. And we will also are like her. We are not much different from her. We will go home with the same doubts. We also don't have an answer for that, right? We also don't have an answer. On one side, Krishna will say Karma Yoga. On the side, he is saying Bhakti Yoga. Another side, he is Jnana Yoga and all that. So, Vivekananda's answer was, yesterday was yesterday, today is today, tomorrow will be tomorrow, he said. How will you understand? That was the answer. Yesterday was yesterday, today is today, tomorrow is tomorrow. That was the answer he gave to her. First thing, this is what we have to understand, that realized soul, for them, yesterday, today, tomorrow doesn't exist. You understand? It is yesterday, today, tomorrow and all is for conditioned people who identify with the body and the mind. This ignorance has to leave us first from inside. Otherwise, you won't understand spiritual life. Time, space, yesterday, today, tomorrow, these are all for people who are identifying with the body completely. Yeah? With that understanding, identification, if you come to spiritual life and ask questions like this, they won't answer you that question. Because from their position, yesterday doesn't exist, today doesn't exist, tomorrow doesn't exist. These are avidya in us, which is causing this problem, right? they are always situated in the self, Antaryami. That's their identity. That's all what they know. And Antaryami is eternal. Soul is eternal, and self-realized state is eternal. And for them, this yesterday, today and tomorrow doesn't exist. Whereas we will take it very seriously. Yesterday you said this, today you are saying this, tomorrow you said something else, right? They are always fresh, right? So they won't answer these questions, right? They will answer the questioner who is asking the question, right? So depending on the person who is asking the question is the answer given. In other words, yeah. So this is the nature of the persons who have advanced in spiritual life, right? Who have some realization of the self, they won't speak like the way we speak, or they won't talk like the way we... For us, we ask a question, we want a direct answer to that question. You will see that Krishna has not followed that, neither with Arjuna nor with Uddhava, with both of them. Arjuna asking questions, Krishna is answering in a different way. Same thing with Uddhava also. Direct answer is never given. For this reason, right? The reason for that is, they will answer things in such a way so that you become free from the influence of mind. They want you to free you from the convictions in your head about due to them. It is the mind that is causing this problem, yesterday, today, tomorrow. It's coming from your mind. And they don't want you to be in that grip of the mind. So what they do, when they answer questions like that, they will answer in a different way so that gradually you start realizing the fault is within you, in your mind. Because of your preconceived conception of the mind, therefore you have got the problem, the doubts, right? So spiritually realized personalities, they don't give any importance to kind of questions what you raise. It's not important for them because in their viewpoint, you are asking questions from the mind. And as far as they are concerned, mind is not a real thing. Because mind is disappearing in Sushupti. Where is the mind? Mind is some force inside. Mind is some force inside which is... When you are in the platform of the mind, these doubts will keep coming, one thing or the other. People have these doubts. Should I follow the path of knowledge, Jnana Yoga? Or should I follow the path of Bhakti? A lot of people have these doubts in their mind. Should I follow the path of Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam? Or should I follow Yoga Margam, Ashtanga Yoga, right? Which is the right one for me, right? They'll come and ask these questions. What should I do? Right? They say that you have said all these different processes. How do I know which one do I have to follow? They will ask generally these questions. Right? And can you tell me something very clearly what I should do? This will be their questions. Right? So the process what you have spoken, I'm finding it difficult to follow. But if you can tell me from morning to night what I should do, just give it to me in writing something, a schedule I should follow every day. So you give it in writing to them something, and then after a few days he's finding it difficult to follow it. right? You got to think about all these things. Only then you will understand the complexity of spiritual life, right? You give them something in writing. Everything in a very structured way. You do this, go for Mangalarti, then get up at 3 o'clock, bathe yourself, and then get ready for Mangalarti, go for Mangalarti. After that, you do your japam, and then your Guru Puja, then your other Bhagavatam class, and then prasadam, and then your book distribution program, come for lunch prasadam. Like that, for a whole day, you can organize a program for anyone. You can make a program like that and give it to them, and tell them, do like this, right? After some time, they'll find it difficult. This will not go. Because that is the problem with the spiritual life. This is where spiritual understanding is required about spiritual life. Most of these people whom you find in the internet and arguing each other about various, practically no spiritual understanding. Completely on a bodily level and on a mental level, they are arguing each other without understanding what spiritual life is, right? So, once it so happened that a person wanted something like that, a great personality, he told him, you do all these things every day. Because spirituality has to come from inside. It's not from outside. You can, like any other karma, that you make an organized chart for someone and you do that and spiritual knowledge will come like that. It won't. It won't happen. So, what somebody gave it like that in writing to someone because he kept on forcing this. He says, whatever you said, I can't follow and I can't do it, because after some time, in spiritually, they say, he got burned out, they say. What is burning out? These are terminologies in the ISKCON also. That he got burned out, he says. Burned out means that he is not able to do it. That's what it is, right? So when you ask him at that time, why have you, what has happened? He says, it's not working, he says. You can do it for a few months, a few years, you can do it. After a while, it's not making any sense. It's not making any sense. So if you try to make spiritual life like that, it won't work. It won't work. You will know one time or the other, everything will fall apart. And your mind will start controlling, telling you from inside that what you are doing is not the right thing. Some thoughts will come and then you are derailed from your spiritual life. Totally derailed. Yeah. So there, this is why a lot of things we have to understand what Krishna is saying first. Yeah. Without understanding things properly, doing is not going to solve the problem. This doing business, we have done enough so far. That's why we are here now like this. Because of this doing business. Without proper knowledge of what Krishna is saying, simply thinking that by doing, everything will happen. And everybody is doing something or the other. Thinking that by doing, everything will come out well. No, it won't. We must know that it is by due to this doing thing only, that we have got into this situation. Yeah? So, you can see from that a lot of things what you think is practical in life, because we think it's not practical. Lot of things what Krishna has spoken, we take it, ordinary people think that it is not practical. So, what you have to notice is, what you think is practical, when you start doing it, you realize it's not practical. Right? So, and similarly, what you think is most impractical, you will start realizing it is practical. That is how spiritual life is. I know what I'm saying is not going in. I know that. You are simply thinking about it in your mind, trying to understand it. But that takes time if you keep on listening to this, right? So, what does that mean? What it means is that to be situated in the platform of the self, as I said in the morning, that body, mind, senses and all, intelligence and all, is not capable of capturing the spiritual message. Spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding won't come from that. Right? So, you will see Krishna saying this three or four times in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavatam in the Ekadasi Skandam also, a state called Shanti. Is it not? Shanti. Now, Krishna says, Shanti is a symptom of a person who is in a spiritual state. He didn't say ecstasy. He didn't say suffering. He didn't say anything else. Without any thoughts inside. Shanti. Tadaparam Shanti Mubaidi Sakshal. In the Bhagavatam, Ekadasi Skandam, Navayogi says this. Tadaparam Shanti Mubaidi Sakshal. Shanti means what? And in the Bhagavad Gita, in 3-4 places, Krishna said that. Sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. Vat prasadal param shantim. Sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. So this Shanti state, Krishna has given a lot of importance to it, that one word, Shanti. Right? Otherwise, he wouldn't have said that. Bhoktaram yajnadavasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Sukhritam sarvabhudanam yatvamam shanti mruchari, he is saying. Again and again, he is using this word Shanti in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Ekadasi Skandam also. From that you can understand that the Shanti state is the proper state of consciousness, proper state of a jiva. If a jiva is in a Shanti state, it is in the Shanti state you can understand these things. So Shanti means what? Shanti means no thought waves inside. Chittavritti is not there. When you have no chittavritti, that state is called Shanti. Right? So, you can see that all these, when there is no chittavritti, Krishna says, you are situated in the self. You are situated in the self, Antaryami, your state. Right? At that state, all the thoughts, what comes to us, doubts, all these things are chittavritti, right? They are chittavritti, right? You know that, yeah? When you ask questions, when you've got doubts about something, you should find out where is it coming from. It is a chittavritti inside. It is nothing but a chittavritti. This thing called a doubt, right? And you have to ask the question, why this doubt has come to me? Right. For example, if you are in the deep sleep state, there is no doubts, is there? The doubts are only in the vacant state when you get it, right? So, you heard all this, and then while going back, you got some doubts in your mind about everything what you heard today. I'm sure you'll have doubts. You'll go home. And then you thought, I'll ask this question tomorrow. Then you went to sleep. And when you fell into deep sleep, that question is gone. And then when you woke up next morning, it may or may not come back. Probably sometimes you forget it. Sometimes it comes back. Right? From this, if you see this through, you can see some thoughts came in your mind. And you started thinking that if you get the answer for that question, all your spiritual problems are solved. No, it won't. Just try to understand the mind itself, how the mind operates, right? So, mind is nothing but thought waves, chittavritti, right? And unnecessarily, we have given too much importance to it, and we are suffering from that. This is what Krishna is trying to tell us in this. Yeah? You see, Arjuna is suffering from that problem. Arjuna is asking Krishna this question. Vyamishraneva vakyena. He is saying, Buddhim mohaya sivame tadegam vadanishchitya yena shrayohya apnuyam. That one verse, if you understand, you will understand the problem of mind and intelligence. Arjuna is saying, I have been completely bulldozed by this mind and intelligence when I heard your words. You have spoken to me so many things, Vyamishrenaiva Vakyena, Buddhim Mohayasiva Me, my buddhi is completely gone, he says. Fallen into this moham. Tad egam vadanishchitya, yena shrayohi matriyam. Now you have to tell me what I should do. You see the situation with Arjuna, right? So the important thing to understand here is that we have unnecessarily given importance to this chittavritti, thought waves, right? And Krishna is saying earlier, in the Shanti state, what he is talking about is that state when you don't have chittavritti, thought waves, Shanti state, yeah? That's what that proper state is. And rishis know this problem. Rishis know this problem of us, our problem, right? So in order to save us from the problem of this thing called doubts, which is a disturbance inside, right? They will not answer you directly, the question, for that reason only. Suppose, because they know that you are coming from your mind. You are coming from your intelligence. Mind, intelligence, because you are absorbed in the body, absorbed in the mind, absorbed in the intelligence. Your questions, what you are raising, is also coming from your body, mind, intelligence. And because they know the problem, and they know these questions are coming, doubts are coming, and it is a disturbance inside. It is a disturbance inside. And therefore, deliberately, they won't answer your question directly. This is a big thing in Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavatam. You see, till you understand the way rishis have spoken, and they have answered the questions, right? The subtle things in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, you will never understand. You are simply hovering on the surface. And you can see people arguing each other. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada also did the same thing to everybody. In his books, you will notice, if you study Prabhupada's books, in one place he will say one thing, in another place he will say opposite thing also. So many contradictions everywhere. Why? Why? Do you think that he is not aware of that, what he has written? He's fully aware of everything. They know very well that unless you raise yourself to the surpassing the mind, as he say, mind and intelligence, you won't understand the Bhagavad Gita. If you are trying to understand Bhagavad Gita with your mind and intelligence, you will never understand it. Just like Krishna has done with Arjuna, Prabhupada's books also are similar in that way. That is why people get all kinds of doubts. Some people are asking all sorts of questions. And many people are confused with that. And they are arguing each other about it. The main problem is that these very people who are reading these books, they are still asking questions, doubts, and absorbed in the body and the mind. Because they are absorbed in the body and the mind, all the questions and answers what they are arguing each other has no meaning. Because spiritual knowledge, as long as you are absorbed in the body and the mind, won't make any sense at all. And deliberately, rishis have taken this approach. What is their approach? They know this very well. That you give unnecessary importance to these doubts, questions, answers and all that things. You get absorbed in that. And this is our situation. Therefore, Mahatmas who know this, what they do, in order to save us from that disturbance of the doubts and questions, they won't answer directly to our questions, right? You ask something, they will answer something else. In so many places in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, it is done the same way. So, this won't be mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that rishis won't tell us that I'm not answering you because you are in the platform of the mind. You are supposed to understand that. You are supposed to know that yourself, right? That you are not ready for it, and therefore they are saying that, suppose I get hundreds of doubts after reading Bhagavad Gita, And I am saying why Krishna said like this, Krishna said like that. You can read in these books, so many places, Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's commented that, the early edition even. If you look at it, so many things he has said, in one place in one way, another place in another way. One place he has glorified impersonally to the highest level. On another place he has condemned them to the lowest level. Why? Why is it like that? It is the way spiritual life is. This is the first thing to understand. That you, as long as you are thinking you are this body, you are this mind, you are this intelligence, and if you stay in that level, and if you ask questions, you won't understand. You won't understand. Yeah? So, what they do is, little by little, they try to get you to transcend the mind, to get over the barrier of the mind, to get your mind, to make you to cross over your mind. You are stuck in the mind, you see. That is the problem. You are stuck in the body and the mind. You are stuck in the body. When you come to the body, people have doubts also. Should we do this? Should we do that? When so many things in the Shastram, we will question from our, because of our bodily identity. And so many other things, because of our identification with the mind, we will question that. Yeah? So, Rishi's endeavor, their effort, is to take us beyond the mind, to get us over the mind, right? Otherwise, you will simply stay in the mental platform, in the platform of the mind, right? So therefore, yogis or jnanis, they all do the same thing, that they will say one thing and they will do something else, right? And otherwise, they will say so many things which are paradox. Things they will speak in such a way. In order to get you over the thing called brain. Yeah. So, you see that one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, we really haven't thought about that. Indriyani pararahu, indriyebhya paramana, manasastu parabuddhi, yo buddhe paratastu sa. He says, sense objects, superior to that is the senses, superior senses the mind, superior mind is the intelligence, but andaryami, yo, sa, paratastu sa, is above all these things. That means when you are in the platform of the senses, mind, intelligence, body, don't try to understand him. You won't understand him. That is the thing. That's the point Krishna is making in that verse. Yeah? Indriyani pararahu, indriyebhya paramana, manasastu parabuddhi, yo buddhe paratastu sa. That till you transcend all these things, you won't understand that sa, what Krishna is talking about there. So Arjuna is having a lot of difficulties, because in this third chapter, which is about Karma Yoga, what he is talking about, right? He is saying, Vyamishraneva Vakena, you have completely confused me, he says. Arjuna says to Krishna, you completely confused me, right? Right? Whether I should follow this Karma Yoga you spoke about, or should I follow the Jnana Margam you spoke about in the second chapter, right? Whatever you say, I'll do that, he says. Arjuna says like that, right? So, that is the misunderstanding. Arjuna's misunderstanding. Arjuna, just because Krishna says to tell you to do something, if you, I'll say I'll do like that, that is not what he is expecting us to do, right? That's also a Brahman. It's a kind of a Brahman, right? So, he is saying that if you say something very clearly, I will do that. This is what Arjuna is saying. You see that verse? Vyamishraneva vakyena. You look at that verse. He says, my buddhi has gone, he says. Buddhim mohayasivame tad egam vada nishchityam yena shrayohi apnuyat. That's what he said. Yena shrayohi apnuyat. Tell me clearly what I should do. Everybody has the same question. And in spiritual life, you don't get an answer for that. Do you understand the problem? Problem is very serious, right? Everybody wants a clear answer to the question. And Krishna, Arjuna is also having the same problem. Arjuna is saying that you have said, Krishna, all these things in the second chapter. Vyamishrayanava Vakyena, what happened is, after hearing you, my buddhi has gone. Buddhi mohaya sevame. It has completely fallen into this confusion, buddhi. Yeah. Tad egam vada nishchitya. Therefore, you decide one thing and tell me what I should do. Then, yena shrayohim apniya. By doing that, I become shreyas, comes to me. This is Arjuna's question. You see that? That one verse, if you properly scrutinize, you will understand the difficulty of spiritual life. Yeah. People, especially in the modern world today, with so much avidya pumped inside us, it becomes more difficult. Because this avidya, what it does is, it makes us think that mind and intelligence is the best thing to do, use it. This is the bodily identity also. Bodily identity as well as identification of the mind. So when we have got this misunderstanding that we gave unnecessary importance to asking questions and doubts and clarifying it, all this is a part of the, because we have given importance to doubts and questions and all that, due to that, right? Krishna is saying, if you are having a lot of questions and doubts, that means you are not ready for spiritual life. Proper state is when you are shanti inside. That is when this knowledge will go straight into the heart. You see? So, there is a lot to think about it here. I don't know whether I am communicating it properly, but all I can say is this, that Arjuna in this situation, what he is experiencing with Krishna is, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, I am confused. From your, whatever you have spoken in the second chapter, I am confused completely, he said. Right? So, so tell me, I want some clarity, he says. Right? And if you tell me like that, I will do that. Arjuna says, Arjuna is like us. For us also it's the same problem, isn't it? Nothing is clear, we said. Sometimes you have to do a lot of service. Sometimes you have to charge 64 rounds. Sometimes you have to eat a lot of prasadam. Sometimes you should say, you should do a lot of deity worship. So many things you are telling me. Which one should I do? People ask all these questions. It's not possible to do everything. Sometimes you say you have to distribute a lot of books. Sometimes you say you have to preach and build temples. Which one should I do? What should I do? This question is coming all the time, is it not? So, it's a symptom of a confused mind, basically. Confused mind. Not knowing which one. Because there is no clarity inside. And even you can see this among the leaders even. They are completely confused. What is the right thing to do? Because they are hovering around all these things. Whatever they understood from the books, they are doing it. We have to build a lot of temples. We have to preach to a lot of people. We have to make a lot of devotees. And then there is arguments, which one is correct, which one is wrong. And then arguments begin from there. And all kinds of issues, you can see what is going on around, right? So I'm saying this, that study Bhagavad Gita, you will get the answer. And in the sense that if you understand from Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is trying to tell us, right? The relationship between Krishna and Arjuna, if you observe that very clearly, you will understand our situation, where we are now, that how we find that difficult, right? So, so Krishna said like, Arjuna said like that, that my intelligence is completely lost. He says, buddhi mohaya seva me, right? So tell me clearly, he said, right? But only thing is, Arjuna is asking, yena shreyohim apnuyam, there should be shreyas in that. You know these two things, shreyas and prayas, right? So that shows that Arjuna is intelligent enough to ask that question like that. I want shreyas, not prayas, right? Prayas means temporary happiness. Shreyas means eternal happiness, which is shanti. That's what I will have, shanti, right? This is Arjuna's question. That last line, yena shreyohim apnuya. I want that shreyas, he said, right? How I will have shanti in my life? Tad egam vada nischitya yena shreyohi apniyat. So it is the same question. This is a little bit more worthwhile thinking about, right? Thinking means that to absorb in this. For example, we all have the same thing in our mind, in deep inside us, every one of us, right? What will make me happy at the end of life? Where am I going to find some shanti in life, right? So Krishna is inside a Santaryami, and the day a thought comes in us like this from inside, that what is Shreyas for me? Shreyas means that I had enough of this life, seen enough of this, and I'm not getting anywhere at the end. Where am I going? Where is it going to end at the day, at the end of the day, right? So that desire, that thought coming inside, that I want the Shreyas. Prayas is what we are working for whole life, plugging the hole here and there to become happy. That is prayas, right? Shreyas means that you are not, you had enough of everything, and you realize that there is no happiness in any of these things. What will make me happy? What is that thing that means I can stop this inquiry once for all, and it comes to a stop, this running after things, one thing or the other, right? So, and that is not a desire. The Shreyas, you have to understand this clearly. The thought of Shreyas is not a desire, right? Desire is like this. For example, Diwali comes. You want to have a lot of sweets for the Diwali. That's a desire inside, right? Or you want to buy a lot of fresh new clothes for Diwali. That's a desire inside, right? But to come to Satsangam is not a desire. I don't know whether you have thought about this, but I'm saying this. To come to Satsangam is not a desire, right? And because if you desire, it won't bring you to Satsangam, right? And it is some other urge inside, right? That's what brings you to Satsangam, not because of desire. There is something else working inside, and when some of the desires have gone, and that is the time when you feel like coming for a Satsangam. When other desires go away to an extent, that is when an urge comes for a Satsangam. Otherwise, you won't come for a Satsangam. Satsangam is not like anything else, right? Little by little, when the desire leaves you, that is when you come to Satsangam, right? Mind never brings you to Satsangam. Mind never brings you to Satsangam. Only Krishna's grace or Kripa, that only can bring you to Satsangam. It is a force that is urged inside us, make you to think in that way. This is the way I would like to hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam. When that thoughts are coming, it is not because of desire. Desire is the other things, like you want to have so many things in this world, holidays, going on holidays, or buying clothes, or having a good meal, and things like that. They are all desires related to the body and the mind. But Satsangam doesn't offer you any of that. It's all related to the soul. So therefore, the conclusion is that if a desire comes for Satsangam, it's not coming from the mind, or it's not coming from the senses or intelligence. It is coming from another souls inside Antaryami. Only when Antaryami shows some mercy or some taste for spiritual life in that way, that is when you start feel like coming for hearing Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam. No, otherwise, what is there in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam to enjoy? Nothing there. It's there. But there is something inside us. This is a little bit subtle thing it is. On a gross level, you can't understand this. But if you have become a little bit of subtle nature, and if your mind, if your thinking is also a bit subtle, you will understand this. In the Bhagavatam, it is spoken very nicely. Yathayadalpa parimrityadeso malpunyagada shravana abhidhane tatha pashyati vastu sushmam. Vastu sushmam means Antaryami, Krishna inside us. That when he start developing this taste for hearing about Krishna and the message what Krishna has spoken, tatha pashyati vastu sushmam. That means slowly he is getting some indication from inside of becoming subtle. Pashyati vastu sushmam. Sushma means subtle. So, tatha tada pashyati vastu sushmam chakshuddevai anjana samprayuktam. They gave the comparison that when you have the cataract, they had a different way of treatment in the past. Today we have cataract operations and all. But in them days there was a kind of a sort of medicine which was applied, and gradually it will improve your vision and you'll start seeing things clearly. In the same way, Krishna is saying the Agadisha Skanda, this verse comes, right? So, it is Krishna's mercy in coming in from inside, giving you a taste for spiritual life, satsangam, and Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. That is, without your knowledge, you are coming because of that. You are not even conscious of all these things. That's the beauty of it. You are not even conscious of that, why it has happened. And that is what is bringing it. And that is why, if you look into Mujugunda Stuti, Mujugunda will say this. If you look into 10th canto, Mujugunda Stuti, when, I think it's 51 chapter. When you read that verse, you may think what's so special about it. But the fact is, Mujunda spoke this openly. Right? Mujunda is saying there in 51 chapter. And the Mujunda Stuti begins from 46 onwards. If you look at the verse 54, Bhavava Vargo Bhramato Yada Bhavel Janasya Tarhyachuda Sal Samagamam Salsangamo Yarki Tadaiva Salgado Paravareshetu Jayate Mati. That one verse is telling you this point straight on our face. Bhavava Vargo Bhramato Yada Bhavel Janasya Tarhyachuda Sal Samagamam Salsangamo Yarkitadeva Salgado Paravareshetui Jayate Mati. He is saying there that the only when you have a proper salsangam that a jiva becomes attractive for self realization. Now, we will think that I have come to Salsangam on my own decision I made, I went to go for the Salsangam. That's not how it happens, right? There is some power inside, some unknown power inside is pushing us to go and hear Bhagavad Gita or hear Bhagavatam, right? So, this same question what Arjuna had is inside all of us. Knowingly or unknowingly, it's there. What Arjuna is saying there, right? Yena tadegam vadanishchita yena shrayohim atnuyam. That fourth line, very important. Yena shrayohim atnuyam. That's what Arjuna asked, and that's the same question in everybody. Yena shrayohim atnuyam, right? It is not Arjuna's question. It is, I can say, it's a non-verbalized question, right? It's there in you, it's there in me, it's in everyone. What does that mean? How there will be Shreyas for me, right? And what does that mean? There is something inside all of us. We are looking for something in life, some destination. Because living in this world and seeing this world, we had understood something about this world on offer, what's on offer here. And having a body like this, this also is not very clear in us, what this body is all about. And you are trying to do something, treating the body and entertaining the body in these different ways, trying to find some pleasure in it. But somewhere inside we know that this is not life at the end. There must be something, a final destination or final state where I don't have to further wander around looking for happiness anywhere else. Is there a state available like that? And if it is there, how do I get there? And that is Shreyas. Right? So, and that is why we go to one guru and then ask one guru, and then you don't get that, go to another guru. Similarly, you go to one temple and you went to another temple. You went to one ashram, then you went to another ashram. You read one book and then you didn't get, you read, bought another book. In this way, and one book to one guru, to one temple, to one ashram, to one holy place, to like this. Everywhere we are searching this. Because you are not getting it. That's what Arjuna is saying here. Yena shrayohim apnuyat. What will give me shreyasa? Shreyasa means, it is the end of the inquiry. It finishes there. That which will, we are going and knocking everywhere. Temple to temple. We are knocking, guru to guru, book to book, ashram to ashram, holy place to holy place. Everywhere we are going and knocking. Sometimes we say, this person may have an answer. And we are trying to get something. That shreyasa. That is what shreyasa means. Right? Yena shreyohim apnuyam. And you also know that there is something, but I am not getting it. Right? And what is shreyasa? Shreyasa, buddhi won't know that. Yeah? Even if you use all your intelligence, you won't be able to know what shreyas is. Right? But shreyas is known. How do you know that shreyas has come? It will be experienced inside. In the Antaryami will tell you, you don't have to inquire anymore anything. This is it. This is the end of that. Right? So, something, if you get it, and then you will be completely replenished. Yeah. And afterwards, no more desires will come. That state. You can observe this with people that they come to spiritual life. For some time they try this one process. And then after that, after a few years, they find that it's not, they won't tell you anything, but they quietly withdraw from that field. They go and do something else. Look at people, you can observe yourself. And you will see why. Because they are looking for something, but they are not getting it. Yeah? And something Antaryami has to say, this is it. You don't need to go any more further anywhere. Right? So that means you don't have any more desire to go and inquire anywhere else. Complete satisfaction, perfection. How will I have that? By touching what? I don't have that desire anymore. And this interesting thing is here, that this what you are looking for is already there inside us. Everybody. It's already there, right? Antaryami. That's what you are looking for, basically. Everybody is looking for that. But because we have not had that experience of Antaryami inside as our spiritual identity, and therefore this inquiry continues. So, and it is keep this knowledge, when we say it is present inside, means that Upanishads are saying that Sachidananda nature means that you are complete in yourself. Nothing has to come from outside. It is just a question of removing the ignorance from inside. You see? But Because we don't know that's a problem, we are looking for everywhere else, going to all sorts of places, thinking that maybe if I go to meet this guru, it will be solve the problem, or this book will solve the problem, or this temple will solve the problem, right? But the knowledge what you are looking for is actually inside us. And this is why Krishna is saying there that tal parsadal param shandim sthanam prapsasi shashvata. And Ishwara param Ishwara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtari brahmayin sarvabhudani yantrarudhani maya. Krishna didn't tell us to go to any temple or any ashram, any tirtham or any guru. The final solution Krishna is saying is inside you. Actual solution is inside you. What guru does is to make you aware of that, that the solution is inside you, right? So it is that question, that is what this question is, Krishna is, Arjuna is asking. You see that? Yena shrayohi maptuyam. Shreyasa means, how do I get that so that I stop this inquiry once for all? Means that state of shanti, where I don't need anything anymore for my happiness. I'm peaceful in that state, right? So, because our Arjuna is admitting this, that my mind is limited, intelligence is limited, right? And neither the mind nor the intelligence can help me in this matter, on this issue, right? So, how do I cross over this problem, right? And that is when this question has come. Yeah, question has come. Is these are proper spiritual life, you can only understand it this way. Not like anything else, you just read the book and you understand spiritual life. That's not how spiritual life is done, right? So, you can observe this, right? That in several instances, the disciple and the guru, Krishna is the guru and Arjuna is the disciple, from their interactions, if you understand that, why did Arjuna ask a question like that? Why did Krishna answer like this? Then you realize it that our own weaknesses, that why I'm not making any progress in spiritual path because of my own shortcomings due to my mind and due to the intelligence. Yeah. So that takes a little while, and in Viveka Chudamani he mentions this, that the when a disciple goes to a guru, what is that relationship is, right? And so, what is the state of consciousness of the guru? What's the state of consciousness of the disciple, right? He's saying there, right, that the guru is saying to the disciple, don't get frightened. There's nothing to be frightened about, right? That I will tell you the process, how you can get over this situation. Yeah, get over this situation. And this process, I didn't invent this, he said. But great rishis before me, great rishis before me, they have traveled through this path. And that the royal road they have gone through is in front of us. And I will tell you that same process what they have spoken, right? And I'll show you that path. So this question, right? If it is clear in our head, yeah, what we are now talking about, right? What do I want in life, first of all? Yeah. What is spiritual life? You see, we are used to reading books and taking instructions from that. And you say like that in this book, you say like that in that book. And then ultimately you give up everything. This is how it ends up. Yeah. So many, many devotees also I have seen that they read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and then what happens to them is they come to a conclusion that what the institution doing must be the right thing. This is how their conclusion is. So institutions, what do? They decide to make a program suitable for everybody. They have to make a plan like that. After all, from their position, it's like that. So like this Bhagavad Gita and all, they have made a point now every year for Gita Jayanti. We all sit together, recite all the 700 verses, and some Swami Sannyasi speak a summary of each chapter, and Bhagavad Gita is understood. You go home happily, you have done your part, bit. Now, reciting Bhagavad Gita is good. There is no doubt about that. Yeah, but that's not doing the job. It's not doing the job. You got to sit and think about all the things what Krishna has spoken, the background behind it, and the commentary of the great personalities who wrote commentary on Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, particularly Bhagavad Gita. Only then you start realizing where you stand in spiritual life. Yeah. So if you tie up yourself with institutions and a set procedure like that, you won't find you are moving very far. You are where you are. Every year you are doing the same thing. Come on and give the Jayanti, recite the verses, sponsor a few Bhagavad Gitas. You go home, you have done your bit. They are also happy that you have come. And it's over. Right? That's no good. That's no, nothing wrong in reciting Bhagavad Gita. Don't get that wrong. But that is not Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is more to it than that. Bhagavad Gita is a science. Bhagavad Gita is a great message in there. Only thing is our inability to understand it, what Krishna is saying, as I said in the morning, that as long as this mind and body and all this thing is holding us so strongly, we don't know what to say about it. And we will ask all these stupid questions from our mind. And even though Krishna has answered them in the Bhagavad Gita, it is not clicking inside us. So the same problem Arjuna has faced here. Vyamishrayanaiva vakyena. Arjuna was completely confused after hearing second chapter. Totally confused. And he is saying to Krishna is, why do you confuse me like this? This is right in the third chapter beginning. Yeah? Vyamishrayanaiva vakyena. If you understand the meaning of those words, Vyamishrayanaiva vakyena, he says, all your confusing words in the second chapter. Yeah? Buddhim mohayasiva me. After hearing the second chapter, all what has happened to me is I'm completely confused. He said, yeah? Tad edam vada nishchitya. I don't want this kind of instructions, he says. Because all you are doing is confusing me by your instruction. What you have done is confused me more. I was already confused and you made it worse now. But we won't admit it. We think we have understood everything. That's the problem with us. They'll come and they have read Bhagavad Gita once, twice, thrice, 10 times. But because they didn't hear it in the right way, whatever it is, one problem, even after hearing, knowing the language, people have got problems with Bhagavad Gita. Even if you study Sanskrit, people who are interested in the language, they will try to find out, is there any grammatical mistakes in Bhagavad Gita? There are people who are doing research work like that. That's not the important point. Important point is this, right? That we are looking for a solution to this problem of material life. And we hear from the Shastram that you have to accept another body once you leave this body. And that's more frightening to come back. And so, and you also see that when you look at yourself, you see the reality. When you look at yourself, right? What is that? body, even if you look after it, with all the medicines, all the support what you can give, ultimately it will get sick and it will die and go. That has not changed in this world. It's always like that. You can treat the body, give all the medicines, and all kinds of massage and gym and everything you can do. And even while doing all that, you are conscious that it is going to go one day, it will get sick and it will die and go, right? And you can see that disease will come at the end. Rarely one dies in an organized way. That happens in a totally uncontrolled situation, you die, right? There will be so many illnesses in the body, and then something else comes added to that, and you are still thinking, will I survive or not through this? Whatever thoughts comes through your mind, something comes one day and then you fall sick. Your bed, in the bed, right? How long you will stay in the bed, you don't know. So practically you can see, you have no control over the body in any level, at any stage. You have no control over the body, right? Disease is coming, and different types of disease comes, which you never thought will come to you, but it comes without your knowledge, right? What to talk about all these things? For example, if I want to slim myself, it's not happening. You try to control the diet, try to control the sleep, everything, still it's not happening. Body is still getting fat, right? Similarly, some people, they want to get fat because they are so slim. And they eat all sorts of food to become fat, they are not getting fat. So even with this body is concerned, you have so little control over it. Whether to get fat or thin, even on that you don't have much control. Some people run a lot, some people do 10,000 steps and 50,000 steps and all kinds of... You see all these things in the YouTube and all that. They tell you a lot of things what you can do, doctor saying, and similarly these physiotherapists and all kinds of people, right? So, so if getting fat and getting thin, even on that you don't have much control. Sometimes you get a little bit thin and afterwards you start eating and then you become fat again, right? So even in that level, the body is not under your control, right? So in the same way, the point is, how did this body come to me like this? Where did this come to me like? Why did it come to me like this, right? I don't know. I don't know the answer, right? And I was not even conscious of that when I came out of the womb of the mother, right? After some time only, I became conscious of the body. Listen now, when the baby is born, baby is not conscious of anything. Baby is just like a piece of flesh has come out from the inside and there is life in that flesh. That's all it is. It is only after some time that that baby starts identifying with the body, and because people from the world telling him that you are, this is your name, and we give an identity to that child. And the child is growing up and it becomes into the bodily consciousness, comes to the child, right? So similarly, the way it has come, in the same way it disappears also from this world. This is our connection with this body. The way it has come, it will disappear also in the same way. Similarly, this is the situation with the body. Now think about the mind, what happens? Mind also, what is this mind inside doing? We don't know. Thoughts are coming all the time, one after the other. Thought waves, right? Chittavritti, it's called. And that's what's called mind. Because the mind is there, these thought waves are coming. Why is it coming? I don't know. Why such a thought has come, good thought or a bad thought, whatever it may be, I don't know why it has come. It is coming. That's all I know, right? And Viveka Chudamani says, depending on this mind and body, if you are trying to cross over this cycle of birth and death, forget it, he says. Depending on this mind and body, because both these two things, mind and the body, is a totally unknown things, it has come to us, right? And it's causing problems. We are stuck in these two things, mind and body, right? So, they give the example that it's like trying to cross a huge ocean in a boat which has got holes at the bottom. It will get, eventually, the boat will sink, is it not? In the same way. So, what is a solution to the problem then? How do I get out of this cycle of birth and death? How do I become free from this old age, disease, death? Because body means that's what's on offer. Old age, disease, death, birth. This is what the body gives to you, is it not? So, I got a boat like this, and I don't want a boat like this, but that's what's been given to me. So, and I don't have any control over this boat. Boat is coming and it has taken over me, and I am stuck in that, right? So, is there any way of escaping this situation where we are in, right, permanently, right? So, whatever you may do, you can still get sick, is it not? Sickness can come. And similarly, your body can be disfigured by accident or something like that, right? Similarly, old age. On all those things, I have no control over it, right? So, and that is why Krishna said that, Janmam Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha Doshani Darshanam. We don't analyze those words seriously. We just read it and we take it for granted. Oh, Krishna said like this. It's very serious matter it is. He's saying to us that try to understand where you are. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. This is all what you have got. That's what is on offer here. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. And after saying that, he says, is there any way out of this? That is what Shreyasa means. So you see that word? Yena Shreyo Himatnuyam. It's of such a beautiful way he has put it. In Bhagavad Gita, it's only one line. Yena Shreyo Himatnuyam. What is a Shreyasa? What do I have to do that I become free from this sort of situations, right? So, suppose you are identifying with the body all the time. And all your attention is on the body. You know what the body will do? Body will continuously give you distress in life. That is Krishna's point. If all your attention is on the body all the time, continuously it will keep you in distress, right? That's one side. And another side is, Krishna is saying that if your attention is always on the soul, Antaryami, right? No distress will affect you. These two principles. If your attention is always in the body and the mind, obviously, it will always give you distress in life. And if your attention is always on the soul, you will never experience any distress in life. Right? So spiritual life means this journey from body to the soul. Spiritual life means the journey from body to the soul, right? And that is what spiritual life means, basically. And instead of understanding all these things, suppose I argue with you whole day and night about initiation and about building the, who should own the property of the temple, all these kind of things. What sort of spiritual life is that? Is that not disgusting? That having come to, you are taking Bhagavad Gita and you are busy with, this is why I was saying this. Krishna had three types of devotees, right? It is the Yadava's nature, what you find there. They want property, they don't want Krishna. Yeah? So people, when they have that state of consciousness, they'll be fighting over the properties, fighting over the buildings, fighting over the followers, fighting over the bank balance, things like that. And they will both will say, we are doing the right thing. Whether this or that, this is not spiritual life. This is not spiritual life. This is the same situation like the Yadavas did. Yadava didn't want Krishna. Yadava wanted material happiness and they got it. They'll get, Krishna will say, you can have that, but you won't get me, he says. So, this is why in Bhagavadam, these three types of devotees, right? Gopis, Pandavas and the Yadavas. Three different levels they are at. Gopis didn't want anything else except Krishna. Therefore, they got it. They got Krishna. Pandavas wanted material happiness also. Therefore, they had to go through suffering a lot. Lot of suffering in life. They got Krishna by the end, but they had to go through a lot of suffering as well. Yadavas didn't want Krishna. They only wanted material happiness, which they got. They didn't get Krishna at the end. Imagine a personality like Akrura, who had the opportunity to take Krishna from Vrindavanam to Mathura. He got killed in that battle at the end, when they beat up each other. Krishna didn't give him any... The shelter he gave to Uddhava, he didn't give to Akrura. Because Akrura had this desire inside strongly for material happiness. He couldn't come out of it. Even after spending time, even though his relationship with Krishna was close in many ways, he did not have the relationship like Uddhava had. Uddhava's relationship was on a spiritual platform more. He wanted Krishna. And therefore Krishna gave him Ekadasha Skandam. Akrura didn't ask for it. Akrura didn't have interest also in that. That is why in several instances in the Bhagavad, we are not criticizing Akrura, don't get me wrong on that. Because all these great personalities had come here to participate in Krishna's pastime. On Krishna's request they had come. On Krishna's invitation they had come. So you should not think about them badly. They are here, but to teach us, people like us, in this world, to teach us, all these pastimes were performed. Krishna's and Krishna's devotees. Right? So that is why it's called a Leela. Leela was for that purpose. To teach the ordinary person to understand about life. It is not for Akrura or it's not for Uddhava. It is for us. Everything. Right? So the lesson we have to learn is that if you have a relationship like Akrura had with Krishna, the end result will be like that. If you had a relationship like Uddhava had with Krishna, end result will be like this. So, for us to learn that lesson, these leelas were performed. So that is why in temples also, you will see that the deity is in the most sacred place, isn't it? In the, what do they call it? The Garbhagraha, Sanctum Sanctorum, call it, is it not? So, from outside you come, there is circumambulation, and finally you go inside. In the same way it is expected of us also to go inside because Krishna is inside. In the Lalita Sahasranam it says, Antarmukha Samaradhyam Bahirmukha Samaradhyam Bahirmukha Sudurlabha. Bahirmukhatvam, very difficult. Antarmukhatvam is possible. Bhimutam means looking outward. People for mind and intelligence, everything is in the world outside, very difficult, right? So, what does that mean? That means one has to give importance to Antaryami inside, which is our identity, spiritual identity. We should not hang on to this jadam, this body forever, right? Shariram, body is jadam. Body is jadam. Then mind is some forces acting inside, and both of them are temporary. Mind and the body are temporary, right? So, if you hold on to these two things, body and the mind, that means you are holding on to something which is very temporary, right? Whereas, Atma inside, awareness, is eternal, and it is permanent, eternal, right? And that is the only truth in this package. Right? And that is our Swarupam, right? So, so out of this whole package, body, mind, intelligence, senses, everything, the only vastu what is permanent in this is the self, nothing else, right? And that Antaryami inside, or our real self, is already there. And it is not to come from anywhere outside. Siddhavastu it is, right? And if you are able to get shelter of that Antaryami, and if you have a relationship with that Antaryami, then everything becomes easier, right? Suppose if I think that with my effort I will make it, it won't happen. By Krishna's mercy, it can happen, right? So that is the important thing. So we'll continue after a few minutes.
Chedodarpanamarjanam vamahadavagnirvapanam shayatuvachandriyavidharanam idhyav jivanam anandambudivardhanam pratipadar purnamradaswadhanam sarvatnamasabanambaram vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namnamagari Bahudadhija Sarvashakti Tatrarpida Nimida Smarnina Kala Edadvishita Vakrabha Bhagavan Namabhi Udaiva Midrishamiha Janina Nurada Tanarabhi Shunijena Tarorabhi Sahishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Matanam Majanam Sundarim Kavidamva Jagadi Shakamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shuri Bhavadal Bhaktirahe Dugitvai Ai Nanda Danoja Kingaram Padidamam Shame Bhavam Budo Krubaya Taupada Pangaja Sthita Duli Sadrisham Vijindaya Mayanam Gala Shodharaya Vadanam Gaddala Rubdhaya Gira Ulagar Nidam Gada Babu Tavam Mama Grahane Bhavishyati Yuga Idam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravisha Idam Shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashrishyava padaradam pinashtumam Adarshanam varmahalam karyotuva Yatha tadava vidada tudam nado Pranamatha sunayeva napara Sarvatra govinda nama sankirtanam Govinda govinda
So Arjuna asked that question to Krishna that Vyamishraneva Vakyena Buddhim Mohayasivame Tadekam Vadam Nishchitya Yena Shrayohimatnuyam. That Yena Shrayohimatnuyam, that is the question, right? So Krishna said before that if this Bodham, awareness inside us, at least to some extent, if you get it, awareness, presence of awareness inside, in this life, at the time of death, it will give you shelter, protection. And and it is already there, Adharyami is there, but it is covered due to avidya inside. You see, if our attention is in the body, if our attention is in the body, and because body is matter, body is jadam, isn't it? It's matter it is. And therefore, it is easy to understand that we are not the body. Because it is matter, matter means material elements basically, therefore it is easier to understand that I am not this body, right? So, if your Shraddha or if your attention is in the body, you can see that body is not me and doesn't require much of an education for that, to understand that, isn't it? How much education do you need to understand I'm not the body? Doesn't require, because anyone can understand that this body will not work without Chaitanyam inside. Chaitanyam's presence, otherwise Chaitanyam leaves, the body is there, lying there. It is as much as like a table or a chair. That body, it will, only thing is it will quickly deteriorate the body compared to table or chair. So body is working, moving, doing things, thinking, feeling, willing, and all kinds of activities is doing only because of the presence of Chaitanyam inside. So this is a simple fact, easy to understand with anyone with a little common sense. It's not difficult to accept that there is a power inside us which keeps this body functioning, right? So, all Krishna is asking us is,
at least this realization come to some experience level, this knowledge, to a little degree, even if it's not permanently there, then Krishna says the last verse, Esham Brahmisiri. That Brahmisiri is talking about that. Yeah? Nainam prapi muhyadi stutvasyal andhavalebi brahma nirvana murchadi. Right? So, it is an Brahmisiri or state of realization is what Krishna calls in different names in Bhagavad Gita at different times. Sometimes he says Bhagavadottama, Stita Prajnatvam, Gunadhita. Similarly, Yoga Lakshanam. All he is referring to the same thing. Everything is same thing, but spoken in different words, right? If you think that, is it possible to have that? If you start asking that question, all you can say is that if it was not possible, Krishna wouldn't have spoken about it. Krishna wouldn't have spoken about it if it was not possible. It was something which was not possible, right? So, to think that it is not possible, that's also a chitavrti only. A thought wave inside us is making us think like that. Who is saying to us that body is not telling me, mind is telling me, or our body or the soul is telling me that it is not possible? Who it is? It's after all, it is also just another thought in the mind, isn't it? You understand why mind is not an important thing. Mind is, we have taken the mind too seriously. That is why we are suffering. That is our main problem also now. Because we took this mind so seriously, and mind brings up one question and you are completely collapsed with that. You lost all your control and you are completely surrendered to the mind. Krishna is saying, and the rishis also do the same thing. They don't want you to get trapped in this mind and the body business. If you are trapped there, then it will be very hard to come out of it. Once you are trapped in the mind to that extent, I'm saying that if you take the mind, what mind raises the questions, and if you take it very seriously, you also have to learn how to discard the mind. If you don't learn that, how to discard the mind, you will be in eternal hell. Because this mind will give you trouble all the time. And that is what he is saying here, who is telling us this, whether it is possible or not? Body is not asking that. And nor the Atma is not telling me that it is possible or not. It is the mind who is doing that, which is one in between this mind and the soul, body and the soul. Do you understand? You see, body is not asking me whether it is possible to realize this, what Krishna has spoken. Bhamisiri. Body is not asking me that. Atma inside me also is not asking that. Then who is asking? The mind is asking, which is in between the body and the soul. Between the body and the soul, right? So, and that mind who is asking this question, is he there in Sushupti? He's not there. This is how real he is. Do you understand? You see, this mind which is breaking all questions, doubts and everything, he is the one who is causing all the problems. Body is not raising any question. Body only gives you trouble in one way. It gives you problems. And you identify with it and you suffer from that. Apart from that, body doesn't raise any questions. Body creates trouble and it goes. Atma doesn't involve, keeps out of everything. This one thing called the mind in between the body and the soul, which is in between, he is the one who is raising all the problems, doubts, and is telling us, oh, it's not possible, and creates all kinds of. So, how the Shastram says is, Shariram is Jadam, right? Shariram is Jadam. Swarupam, our identity, is already, we have got it. It's nothing has to come from outside. We already have it, right? And the mind in between the two is not real. If you accept all these things, spiritual life becomes a lot easier. But if you are always surrendering to the mind and questions and everything, then you are always going to be in trouble. So many people will say so many different things, and they will all drag you in different directions and create different doubts in the mind. So remember this, that body is not asking anything. Body is a burden on us, right? And it will give you all these problems, birth, death, old age and disease. So you need to handle that in one way. That's the way it is, and that's not going to change. And that's prarabdham, and that you have to suffer through. There's not a choice there. It will come its own way, and you have to accept that. Atma is concerned, he's not going to give you any trouble. He's there, available for you, if you want to realize him. That's spiritual life. So this journey from body to the soul is spiritual life. In between, this powerful entity called mind, he is the one who is driving your whole life. Throughout life, all you are doing is trying to satisfy this mind inside. Yeah. So, and this mind is not real either. Because if it is real, it should stay in all the three states, it should be there. It only comes in the morning, in the vacant state and the dream state, give you a lot of suffering, and then it disappears in the deep sleep. If you look at yourself, you can see all your happiness and distress is centered around this mind. Day and night, it is causing problem one way or the other, is it not? Different thoughts, different emotions, different, especially when you go into Vyavahara, all Vyavaharam gives all kinds of problems. And so you can imagine how much mind is controlling us indirectly without our knowledge. And everything what's happening in the world, where is the disturbance? It's in the mind. So, if you understand this, Shariram is Jadam, Surubam is Siddham, and mind is not real. Right? Then what is that to be achieved here? If you want it, Krishna is saying that, that's what I'm saying, that actually, you see, there is not a lot to study in spiritual life. It's only a misunderstanding that you have to study a lot of books, you have to, do a lot of sadhana, you have to do a lot of service. All this is misunderstanding in one level. Because in the beginning, we don't have that proper understanding of spiritual life. We get misled like this in many times. That as though it's a huge project running for many, many years and lifetimes like that. But strictly speaking, Krishna's point is, if you just study that second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, right? And if you just really got it inside properly, the message, right? You will find there is nothing more to be known after that. Like Shuka Brahmarshi did to Parikshit, right? What he wanted to say to Parikshit was 12.5, Canto 12, Chapter 5. That's the message. Yeah. Simply the message is in that 13 verses in the 5th chapter, 12th canto. That's all the message, right? Now, in order to give that message, Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Bhagavatam to give that message. And Parikshit got released from the body, from the mind, intelligence, everything. He realized it, that I have nothing to do with this body, nor with the mind, nor with the senses. I am the same Aham Brahmasmi stage has come to him. So, that is how it is. We think that spiritual life is so much we have to learn, so many books we have to learn, so many ayurvedas we have to do, so many things, we make that very difficult in some times. And we are not getting anywhere at the end after doing that for so long, right? So the problem is, the point is missing. That the message, like for example, when Krishna had to tell about spiritual life to Brahma, he finished in 4 verses. And out of those 4 verses also, only the first verse is relevant. So that way you can understand that When the great personalities, when they speak, they do it in 3-4 lines. They can convey the message. For us, even after 18,000 verses, we are asking the questions still. So this is where we are at. Because of our mind and the body, right? So the thing is this, that so Krishna is saying that if you go on like this whole life, you will be saying one way or the other because of the mind. And you can bring different, keep on going like this, right? And you can make different excuses and logic and reasoning behind it. And you can pass your time like this in this world, in the name of spiritual life, right? So that is what Krishna's point is, that that Satchidanandam, Satta Chitta Anandam, with that the nature of the soul is Satta Chitta Anandam, and it's present inside everybody as the Antaryami, Aham Aham, it is present there. Then Bodham, and realizing Him by removing all the avidya from inside, that is spiritual life, right? So, but unfortunately, what happens is we have got this close friend called this mind inside us, right? And it's not a good friend. And he's constantly, what he does is, if you, some good desire comes in you, he will smash it straight away. Like this, we hear all these things. As soon as you go out, you'll start thinking, is this all practical? This thought will come. Mind will create that. Right? What Bhagavatam is saying is, if you make friendship with this fellow, mind, and you start operating together, then like Puranjana in the Bhagavatam, you can go from one body to another. That's all. If you make close relationship with him, all it can do is to travel from one body to another. And so, whereas this going closer towards the Antaryami, the soul inside, right? Satyavastu, it is for that purpose, Salsangam. Salsangam is to make aware all the time that the truth is not this body, nor the mind, nor the intelligence, but the Antaryami inside. It has to be spoken again and again and again till we wake up. We won't wake up hearing it once or twice, because again this mind will come and put the spanner. So we may be thinking that, oh, I have to study all the 700, memorize all the 700 verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Only then I will understand the Bhagavad Gita. No. So that is not how you understand Bhagavad Gita. We may be, people think like that. Oh, I have to memorize all the 700 verses and then recite them. But then you may not got understood Bhagavad Gita. You may have memorized all the verses. Yeah. You see, to see a little deeper things, it's important to know that. Yeah. So once a devotee asked, I think it was Ramana Maharshi asked this question, right? He said to him that, I have been studying Bhagavad Gita for a very long period of time, he said, but I am not getting any realizations, he said. That was his question. You must have heard this before, right? So Maharshi asked him that, what is Bhagavad Gita telling you? He said, right, you look at yourself. Means, see the Antaryami inside, right? Why are you looking at me? And he has been looking at the Bhagavad Gita all these years, studying the verse after verse. People do all these things and then they make it a ritual then. Bhagavad Gita is not for a ritual. Bhagavad Gita is knowledge. And it is to be realized only. That is where the priority first, right? So Bhagavad Gita is telling that you put your attention on the self. Swarupam. Swarupam. Ashat Shraddha should be in the Swarupam, Antaryami, inside, right? In other words, turn your attention inwards, This is what Bhagavad Gita is asking. All the Shastram, Salsangam, Kshetram, temples, all that is only for directing the mind which is wandering around in this world inwards, right? By somehow or the other. Temples are for that, ashrams are for that purpose, and similarly Salsangam is for that, and Shastram is also for that. To get our attention from the world inwards. That's all it is, right? And then if you realize him inside, that is presence of Antaryami inside, it finishes, the job is over. Aham Alma Gudakesha, Sarva Bhutashaya Stida, Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhutana Mandamevacha. In that one verse, Krishna said, everything is there, right? So, because that's the only thing we can say with full confidence that is permanent with us. Body is not with us permanent. Mind is not with us permanent. Obviously the world is not with us permanently. But this bodham, awareness inside us, I am, that awareness inside is always there. It doesn't leave us because that's what we are, that bodham. So that is our capital. That's the only capital what we have got in our business, right? Mind, body, intelligence, these things come and go. That's not with us. It is there when the body is there. That's all. You can't, it is not in your control at all. They come and they go. So very distinctly, we have to study ourselves. Very distinctly, we have to know where we stand in this whole spiritual life, right? So, because they are not in our control, they come and they go, and that you can see in great personalities' life also. Great personalities' life, right? For example, Prabhupada mentioned about Radhakrishnan. He was a genius, spiritually. Genius in the sense that he wrote commentaries on books, and then he wrote a lot of literature on the Vedic literature, knowledge. About the Vedas, he has written several books in the Oxford University, published them, all that, right? And this Dr. Radhakrishnan, when he died, he couldn't even remember his name. This is how he died. Great person, and highly learned. He was Chancellor of the Calcutta University and all that, but time of death, he couldn't even remember his name. So imagine this, with all your intelligence, brilliance, and the mind, and the body, ultimately, you could see that you can't trust your intelligence. That will also go. It's there now and the body is there, right? But that awareness of the Antaryami inside, that will never go, because that's what we are. That's the only thing permanently with us, right? So, and that is showing us its presence is, you have to know him by studying the body. See, this body is doing different things, is it not? And it's able to relate with this world through the senses. It's not the power of the senses. It's not the power of the mind or the body. It is that Antaryami inside, by whose presence all this is happening. So having known that, right, and it, you cannot see him either. Antaryami presence, you can't see him. But we have to know that he is there by the way the body is working. Body is working, right? So therefore, he is compared to the sun. Yeah? In the fourth canto, you will see that mentioned there that Sagar Vibhadam Savibhir Savidur Yadha Prabha. In the fourth canto, you will see that word. Sagar Vibhadam Savidur Yadha Prabha. You have to know him by, like the sunshine, you see things in the same way. He is inside you. This conviction has to come. And then you have to know that that alone is the reality in this whole thing. Not this body, not the mind, not the intelligence, not the senses, not the world. That one vastu inside Antaryami, he is only permanent thing and he alone is real. Right? So, after saying that, he said that in the, you will see this, Kathopanishad put that nicely. You remember that? Nayatra suryo bhadi, na chandra taregam, nema vidyudo bhadi, kutoyam agni, tameva bhandam, anubhadi sarvam, tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. In one verse, the Kathopanishad says this. And Krishna has taken that from Kathopanishad and put in the Bhagavad Gita also. Na yatra suryo, na tatra suryo, bhadi, na chandra taregam. The sun is shining because of him inside. This aham atma gudagesha is inside the sun. And therefore the sun is shining. Similarly the moon is shining. Similarly the stars in the sky. Similarly the lightning happening. Kutoyam agni. Agni is burning. Fire is burning. Tameva bhandam anubhadi sarvam. Tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. Without his presence, these things cannot work. This whole. And this simple thing, people find it difficult to accept. Or we are thinking, how can that happen? We cannot see the soul. Where is the soul? And this is our situation. Yeah. And with this understanding, this is the last instruction from Yama to Nachiketas in the Kathopanishad. Right? So you can imagine, he went to see Kathopanishad. Nachiketas went to see Yama. Yama told him, ultimately at the end, he says, that's all you have to know. Nothing else to be known in this world, right? So, and in order to experience that, Antaryami inside its presence, right? And the process for that is this salsangam. Salsangam is for that purpose, right? There are many other ways, but ultimately you can move around and finally come to this understanding, right? You can go through different ways. Arjuna asks that question, right? Arjuna says that if knowledge is so superior, why do you ask me to do karma? He asked that question, remember? In the beginning, right? So, the answer has not spoken. Krishna didn't answer that question. Because Krishna understood Arjuna's problem. Arjuna also is right from our point of view. You are glorifying Jnanam so much and then you are asking me to fight. It's not making any sense, is that? We say like that, isn't it? It's not making any sense. So Krishna knows, yes, it is true, it's not making any sense for you now. It won't make any sense because you are dependent on your mind and the intelligence. That is why it's not making any sense. Because you are dependent on mind and intelligence and so identifying with the body, it won't make any sense to you. So to understand that statement, you have to come out of mind and intelligence first, and the body, right? So, only important thing is, Krishna is saying, your Shraddha should be in the knowledge of the soul. Yeah? Because once you realize that, the soul, if you realize that, right, then it is in that state you have to do the karma. You have to do the karma. Because that center or the self-realization and this body where karma happens, they are independent. Do you understand? That the, you see, Antaryami inside, where the knowledge of the self is, and the body which is doing the karma, they are two different entities. Yeah? And only if you understand, capture that concept clearly, then only you will understand the next chapter, third chapter, Karma Yoga. I don't know whether you understood what I am saying. That knowledge of the soul and self-realization is independent of the body and the karma what the body is doing. if you have not captured that concept clearly, you will be confused again and again, right? So first thing is to know is self-realization and the knowledge of the self is independent and it is our existence, our reality. Do you understand? That's what we are. That Antaryami inside. That is our identity, right? You should not mix up that with the karma, what the body is doing. These two things are not connected, Krishna is saying. Do you understand? You see, body and the soul, they are two different things. Their nature is different. They have no connection to each other. We, due to our identification with the body and the mind, we are trapped in this situation. So Krishna is saying to Arjuna, before we discuss about Karma Yoga, first thing you have to understand, because Arjuna said, I'm confused, he said. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, this body, this self, the knowledge what I have spoken about the soul, Antaryami, is a totally independent thing. And you are that. And that is the realization you need first. After knowing that, body has nothing to do with you, you engage the body in the karma. This is the principle, right? So, so that realization inside of the soul, right? And with that clarity has come. In other words, realization has come that I am not this body. I am that Antaryami inside. That's me, right? And then if you do karma with that realization, karma won't touch you anymore. That is the secret of this Karma Yoga. Unless you realize that you are that Antaryami, and all the great personalities, Krishna will say, they all did karma in that way. Today, our problem is that we identify with the body, the mind, intelligence, and we think this is everything. And then we go and do karma. And then we get into trouble. And then we say, Krishna has said, you do karma like this, karma like that and all. That's all no use. Till we get this principle right inside, that actually I have nothing to do with this karma. I have to do, because I am spirit soul, Antaryami inside. That's my identity, I am Brahmasmi, right? I have realized that and I have nothing to do with this body. Krishna is saying, this body and the soul, they are two different things. You are the soul. You have nothing to do with this body, but with that realization, you should do this, what you have to do here in this body, with the body, right? If you do like that, none of the karma will affect you, Krishna is saying. Karma won't affect you. That's when kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam leaves us. It won't cause any problems, right? So when Krishna is saying to Arjuna, you fight, what Krishna is saying to Arjuna is, your body should fight. That's what he is asking him to do. Your body should fight. And when he said to Arjuna, you should become Sthira Prajna, it's not to the body he is saying, he is saying to the Antaryami inside. You understand? When he said in the second chapter, Sthira Prajnatvam, he is not saying to the body that message. It is to Arjuna's, the soul, Antaryami inside. That's where Sthira Prajnatvam is, not in the body. But when he told him to fight the war, it is for the body to fight. You have to think about it a lot to understand that the body and the soul are two different things. Don't mix up together. If you mix them up, you are in trouble. You won't get a clarity. You'll be confused. So the clarity comes when you realize this, that situated in the platform of the self, you can do the karma what you want with the body. Not otherwise. Otherwise it causes problems, right? So Sthira Prajnatvam, which he said, is not towards the body, but towards the Antaryami. Whereas fighting the war is for the body. Is for the body. So, if you mix up these two things together, body and the self together, and this problem will come. You will be confused about it, right? So, when you mix this Antaryami with the body, when you mix the Antaryami with the body, right, that is when this question comes. Should I fight the war or should I stay as Sthita Prajnatvam? You see, Arjuna asked that question, you confused me, he said. So Krishna is saying, there is no confusion. Confusion is because you have mixed up these two things together. Sthita Prajnatvam is for Antaryami and battle, fighting the war is for the body. Don't mix up together these two things. And this is exactly why Prahlada was saying the six qualities of the soul, of the body, and 12 qualities of the soul. And if you analyze them, you will see they are totally different. They are totally different. So these things, you have to continuously think about this. And constantly within yourself, you have to separate them between the two. Otherwise, there is no spiritual life. You are wasting time otherwise. Yeah. If you mix up this body and the soul together and you say you are in spiritual life, you have not understood anything about spiritual life. Spiritual life means able to break up these two between and seeing them separately. Actually, our whole connection is with the Antaryami. Body is there and therefore I have to use it for a particular purpose, for whatever it has come, to complete the prarabdham. That's the way to fight war. So, in fact, if your Sthita Prajnatvam has come properly to you, you won't go for a battle. You won't be fighting the battlefield. You won't be doing that because Sthita Prajnatvam has come, right? Similarly, if you are fighting the battle, you will never get Sthita Prajnatvam. There are two different things. One is relationship with the soul, other one is related with the relationship with the body, right? So, and this difference between Sthita Prajnatvam and the karma of the body, if this is not very clearly, if it is clear, only then there is point in talking about it further. Right? So, otherwise, we will keep on doing the same thing day after day after day. And that is why he said here, Vyamishraneva Vakyena. Buddhi, we will be reciting this verse every day. What Arjuna is saying. And that's what we are doing now. We will be discussing whether Draupadi was disrobed or not. And that is my greatest worry in life. Whether Draupadi was disrobed or not. How does it help? This is their standard. This is the standard. And someone else is saying, he says, fifth canto Bhagavatam. See the, how people's mind is working. They are all the gurus, right? I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying that we can fall into the same trap. We can be like them if we don't understand it properly. He is saying that the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, I don't understand it, he said. With my tiny, 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 tiny brain, he said. And he said that, and he's saying that this fifth canto, the way it is spoken, it's not able to explain it properly, fifth canto, right? Fifth canto is always very interesting. Different devotees have seen different ways, fifth canto, right? And it's there in the fifth canto, right in the middle of the Bhagavatam, right? So, Sri Shiva Brahmarshi has spoken, and now we have built this $90 million big project, planetarium, to teach people what the fifth canto is talking about, right? And nobody will agree with it, because they can't see it anywhere. They will say, with our biggest telescopes we have tried, and we can't see all this what you are talking about. And we are saying to them, look, you don't know anything, we have got it. We have built it now already. So somebody told me that it was done only for one purpose, so that you can get visitors to come, tourists, and you can charge how many thousand rupees for a ticket or something like that. And that will be a good income. Whatever, I don't know what the motive. One thing is very clear, that fifth canto understanding it is not like that, the way they have understood it. It's not that the way. that just because everything is not as it is, you see, in the book. This is the problem. And you are reading all these things and you think that you got it, nobody else know about it. You think people before us who read Bhagavatam didn't understand? It's only now the most intelligent ones who come to this planet have understood Bhagavatam. What about all the many generations before us? Did they not understand Bhagavatam? So the thing is that they have, and now the gurus are saying that I don't understand it, but my Guru Maharaj has said like this, so it should be true. That's on that basis it is spoken, right? Anyway, the important thing is this, that we will be keep on talking like this rubbish without any sense out of it, right? So the question is that Jadam Chaitanyam, two things, right? And we have to be clear in our head, they are two different things, right? And body is Jadam. It is dead matter, right? And we say, in another word, Shariram Shahiri. Body and the Chaitanyam, inside. Inside the body, Andaryami is the Shariri, right? Similarly, Krishna uses the word Kshetram, Kshetrajna. Kshetram is the body, Kshetrajna is the Andaryami. Deham, Dehi, right? So, if this concept is clear in the head, and then if your Shraddha goes into Dehi inside, Andaryami inside, then if you do karmam after that, that karmam won't cause any problems, even if it is killing others. Right? And Krishna says that is what is called Karma Yoga. That's what's called Karma Yoga. So, Karma Yoga is not something what we develop on our own mind. Karma Yoga underlying principle is this, that your actual identity has nothing to do with the body. It is the Andaryami. With that realization, if you do karma, that karma won't bind you. It won't create vasanas. And whatever you do, that karma is prarabdham, it is, based on the body. So these two things are totally independent. You shouldn't mix up both these things together. And Arjuna made that mistake. And that is why that question came up and Krishna answered it this way. Right? So this was just an introduction what we spoke today. In Bhagavatam, the same thing is spoken in another way. You have to understand. You see, when the Rishi says something, suddenly they will say something and then you have to capture from that what they have. Yasyastha bhaktar bhagavat tyaginchane sarvai gunaistatra samasade sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahal guna mano radhe nasadi dhavado bahi. What does that mean? Krishna is saying there that if you have not developed that understanding, bhakti, in the heart, bhakti means all these things, properly knowing things in the right way, and holding on to that. That is bhakti. Not that you manufacture something and say, calls it as bhakti. It doesn't become bhakti. Bhakti is a very misunderstood word. Different people define bhakti differently, is it not? You know, how bhakti is understood by different people, differently, right? Sometimes it is Namashivaya, sometimes it is Radhe Radhe, sometimes it is Hare Krishna. Like this. Everything is bhakti. Nobody can deny that. It is bhakti. But bhakti, properly from Bhagavatam, he says, Esyastya bhaktir bhagavatya ginshana sarvai guna sutra samasade suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahal guna. He says, a devotee may have many good qualities, but if he has not captured this point, proper bhakti towards you means knowledge of the self. Self is the Andaryami Krishna is talking about. Bhagavati, Ahinshana. And Sarvai Gunasthatra Sama, he may have all the qualities in him, but he is on the platform of the mind, he said. He is still trapped in the mind. Harava Bhaktasya Kudo Mahal Guna. Why? Mano Radhenasadi Dhavado Bahi. He is still in the mental chariot. You can look at that verse when you have time. And what is indicating is that this mind trap of the mind, can happen even if you are a devotee. You are not free from that. As I was saying, examples. Akrura got into trouble. Rahugana got into trouble. Jadabharata saved him. Jadabharata made it clear to him. Told him, "You're so stupid," he said to the king. "You're so stupid. Whatever nonsense you have talked to me this morning," he said, "is not appreciated," he said. And he was carrying Rahugana on his shoulder in the palanquin. And then he stopped the palanquin and he fired him. Who? Rahugana fired Bharata. And Bharata told him, "Aham Pura Bharato Nama Raja." You know who I am? In the previous birth, I have the emperor Bharata. And this Rahugana's parents were a small king under him. In that life, it was like that. In this life, it has become like this. I have to carry you on my shoulder and the palanquin. But it doesn't matter, he said. It doesn't affect me. So you can understand that all the Mahatmas, when they talk, you need to think about it. And their actions, you have to understand it. On what basis they said this and they did that in a particular way. So Bharata, Rahugana, Rishabhadev, Dattatreya, all these great souls, and Krishna also, and Muchukunda, they are all teaching us something, that the soul is independent. Soul is Krishna inside us. And that is what is moving everybody in this world. And without recognizing that, simply thinking I am this body and the mind, and fixing the body and fixing the mind, where is it going to end? It will all end up in frustration. And eventually it will be disappointed. Yeah? So we will continue with this Bhagavadam, where when we talked about it this morning, that the Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam is behind everything. Yeah, it is controlling us and we are victims of that. All of us come with a certain gunam inside us. Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, right? And it's their variation. Now, even though Bhagavadam doesn't say that, Sridharajani Swami says this very clearly. He said that we classified the time like Kritam Trayada Dwabaram Kali, four yugam, right? And he mentioned also in this Krita Yugam, people will be more Satyam, Dharma, Daya, Shausham, all these will be perfect in a person. And then it will start degrading and degrading and degrading, and finally in the Kali Yugam it will be like the way we are started now, the way it is, right? And due to the influence of time, the modes of nature changes, and these changes happen to all of us. But even though Shukha Brahmarshi hasn't said this in the Bhagavadam, Sridharajani Swamiji says this. He is saying that if in a person, even in Kali Yuga, if he has spiritual nature, spiritual desire, and cultivating spiritual knowledge, and following dharma, and is fully fixed in self-realization, you can say that he is in Krita Yuga, even though he is living in Kali Yuga. And that makes sense, is it not? It makes sense. Because otherwise, if you start thinking that, oh, everything is Kali Yuga, no, I can't do anything about it. It's Kali Yuga has come. And if you give up on spiritual life, it won't make any sense. That's an important point. Shukha Brahmarshi hasn't said that. Shukha Brahmarshi said like this, that as time advances, things will start degrading, and in the Kali Yuga all these things will disappear. So generally people will take it that nothing can be done in Kali Yuga. No, that's not true. In Kali Yuga, if you are determined, you can live in the Krita Yuga, Satya Yuga, in Kali Yuga. Even though bodily wise, you are in the Kali Yuga, inside your consciousness is in Krita Yuga, Satya Yuga. Yeah? So that kind of understanding has to come from great personalities. Only they can tell you these things. This is how it has to be understood, right? So, so there we mentioned this, is it not? In that 15th verse. Yaduttama shloka guna anuvadam sangiyade abhishnam amangalagna. This is 12.3.15. Yes, uttama shloka guna anuvada sangiyade abhishnam angalagna tameva nityam shunuyad abhishnam krishne amalam bhakti abhip samanaha. This verse was right after the 14th verse, katha imamste kathita mahiyasam, which we discussed last Sunday. Yeah. Vidaya logeshu yashaparayusham. Vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. Vajo vibhudir nadu paramarthyam. So, saying, Krishna was saying, there Shivabrahmashi was saying to Parikshit, all I have spoken to you in this Bhagavadam, I have glorified so many kings, and I have spoken about their activities. You don't have to take all of them literally as the history. It's not the history I have spoken. What I have spoken, he's saying to him, the only with one goal in my mind, vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. In order to create vijnanam vairagyam inside you, I have had exaggerated certain things and spoken. You have to have the intelligence to think that way and able to separate from that corn from the chaff. You have to know how to separate them and to pick the right thing from that. You need that intelligence. Vijnana vairagyam vivakshaya vibho vajo vibhudir nadu paramarthyam. They are not, you have to, don't have to study it like history you study. You study these things, and that is how Puranams are. Puranams are written like that. You know, all Puranams are like this. So, and to argue about this and start fighting each other, is there nothing worse than that? Is it not? What has spoken in the Puranam, and to think that has this happened or has not happened, that is not important. That's the way it is, right? So he said, and then he said that I've said all these things, he said, and then in the next verse he said like this. Yad uttama shloka gunani vadam sangiyade abhishnam amangalagna tameva nityam shuniyat abhishnam krishnaye amalam bhakti abhipsamana. Right? This is the important thing people should understand, that if you are able to hear about Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, activities, instructions, everything, right? And what is that is being spoken by great devotees and yanis and the yogis. And if you develop bhakti in that way, then he should continue hearing about this. In other words, he is saying that you will get interest and taste in all these things only when Antaryami inside dictates us to take interest in Bhagavadam. Yeah? It is a difficult thing. So, Krishna Bhakti, what is mentioned here then, Krishne Amalam Bhakti Mabhipsamana, right? One who wants that, Krishna Bhakti, right? It is important to, how to get the mind strongly attached to Krishna. How to do that, right? It can happen in various ways. All these different processes, which will help you, we don't know. That one is one's own choice. Sometimes it's through satsangam, sometimes it's through deity worship, sometimes it is through kirtanam, but somehow or the other we have to understand Krishna, what Krishna is saying. For different people it will be different. Some people are not interested in reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam or understanding things. They are doers. They are willing to do something. So, like you can see in people's nature, they'll do a lot of service. Beyond that, if you say anything to them, they say, well, you can't sit and listen to this Bhagavadam all the time. It is difficult. And you know how mind is such a thing that it brings you a lot of questions. Am I doing the right thing? This will come all the time. Am I doing the right thing? And with these doubts, you are doing your service also. Am I doing the right thing? Am I wasting my time? Because it's not easy every day to stand there 3 times to the navel, 3 times to the face, 3 times to the lotus feet, like day after day after day. And if the bhavam is not there, that also becomes a karmam. Is it not? So like this, similarly book distribution, for any activity if you think like that. The problem with people are that they think that this is written in the book, I'm just doing it. That's how they take it. It's written in the book, so I'm doing it. It suits my nature and I'm saving people in this world. And I've distributed so many books. I made him a devotee. All these things comes from that. But that is in one level. I'm not saying it's all wrong. It's not wrong. But ultimately, you can go round and round and round and round and come back ultimately to this. What Bhagavatam is saying, what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. If you don't get there, because you will get there at the end. At the end you will get there. You will go, keep on going, 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 going in all types of devotional service you will try. And then you will finally come to this realization that I need this realization, what Krishna is saying there between the body and the soul. If I don't get it, then my life is not success. I can do all the other things. But at the end, if I don't get this realization, what Krishna is saying there, Brahmistri, if I don't get it, then I may have to come back. That's guaranteed. We will come back. We'll all be back here in another form, and we'll be sitting in another room, and we'll be discussing the same thing again. So that is the truth. That is not going to change. Yeah. So other things are all the different big projects, building temples, making devotees, performing festivals, going parikrama, various kinds of things people are doing all that. Without this understanding, it's not perfect. You can do all those things, but ultimately, you have to accept what Prahlad is saying, what Shukha Brahmashi is saying, what Krishna is saying, and that is the truth. That is the truth. But it may take some time for them to come to that understanding. They'll keep going through round and round and round. And then one day they will also see that how many parikramas I have done, how many rounds I have chanted without any understanding. The basic thing is this, what Krishna said here. Even karma yoga will only make sense only if you understand these things. So that's what I'm saying. That second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, the more time you invest in that chapter, you will get everything what you want in spiritual life. You don't have to look for anywhere else. Message is very straightforward, but only thing is, because the message doesn't go in very easily, Krishna has to answer another 400-500 verses for the rest of the chapters. But the key message is in the second chapter. Key message in the second chapter. So this year, we were able to discuss at least Sridhar Swami's Bhagavatam a lot. Probably will come to an end of this session. Next year, if we get time, we will, Krishna willing, we will discuss that second chapter a lot more in detail. And then you will realize it that all this was Krishna's packed into that one chapter. And especially with the Acharya Swami's Bhashyam on that, if you look at that second chapter, it is. You will realize it. There's nothing else to be known after that. That is how powerful that chapter is. The second chapter is here. Yeah? So here Krishna is saying here. Now Bhagavatam also, if you look at it, you see this is how you have to look at Bhagavatam. Parikshit asked a lot of questions, right? Parikshit wanted to know about the construction of the universe. Now, I'm going to die in 7 days' time. What do I have to do with the construction of the universe? Whether it is Earth is globe or Earth is flat, it makes no difference to me. But he asked that question, and Parikshit and Shukha Brahmarshi kept him busy with that. He says to him, every now and then he looked at the watch and he said, oh, you still have 2-3 days left, so let me keep saying things. So he kept on saying various things. Finally, when the crunch came, when Takshaka came to bite him, Shukha Brahmashi became very serious and he told Parikshit what he has to say in 12-13 verses, it's over. That second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is like that. Once you got it, then you don't need to read even the rest of the Gita. To such an extent, it is fulfilling. It is the perfection in everything. Yeah. That's why it's so important to study that Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter. Meanwhile, we will continue with this for the next few days and we'll see where we go. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.